Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, August 4th, 2012, the day we launched the new Tech Guy Lab site. Get me a vuvuzela, quick. This is episode 897. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code TechGuy. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, a very good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk. Well, tech, actually. Yeah, I don't know why that's such a surprise. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. Sometimes people call me about, you know, kind of less techy things like antennas, but anything with a chip in it, that's really the idea. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. 888-827-5536. And I'm just going to check before I say anything. Yes, the new Tech Guy Lab site is up, and now this will be the first day that actual people have actually, you know, used it. So be gentle. Be gentle. TechGuyLabs.com, our brand new site. And it's what we call a adaptive or responsive design. So the idea is that no matter what size screen you're looking at on it, it's the same site, it just rejiggers itself to fit in. That's not fully true. Some stuff that doesn't. But mostly it does. So if you go there on an iPhone, it's a big long column. If you go there on a regular computer, it's a wider column. And the biggest thing, and we're working on this, is that the menu bar. Boy, this stuff is complicated. This is complicated stuff to figure out web design. Especially now, you know, when this has all become very sophisticated, you know. The old Tech Guy site, which I've been promising to replace for 5 or 6 years, it's an 8-year-old site, really was simple, just text. And, you know, there was some merit in that. When I got my MacBook Pro with Retina display, every other website looked terrible. My old website looked great because it was just text. Text scales nicely. Images are a little harder to do. So this site resized. The only thing I'm not crazy about is there's a menu bar, kind of a black and white menu bar. And if you get a little too narrow, and you could do this on a desktop easily, the menu bar disappears, and we get this kind of thing on the right that you can't really tell is a menu. I have to fix that. I'll make that a little more easy to use. But that's what the menu goes and hides. It goes down its little bunny hole, and it may not be obvious that it's there. But if you get it at a decent width, you'll see that there's the home page. And on the homepage, there is a little bit of a description of what we do. We have the question of the week, the tip of the week, the hero of the month, which I hope will soon be one of you guys, because the hero of the week will be somebody who's done something to help our audience out, maybe in the comments section. There'll be a tech news section. And then a little drop down where you can go to recent episodes. That will, for the first time, be always up to date. And in the episodes, they'll have a video, which is kind of cool, of the whole show. But when you click a question, I'm looking at the last episode. Are Android phones compatible with Apple computers? Good question from Beth in Florida. When you click the button, watch, or you go to the question, it jumps right ahead to the video where you can actually see me answer that question and hear the question and the whole thing, which is kind of cool. That's a nice little feature of YouTube. You could just jump to a little portion of the YouTube video so you could see that. And then you'll see Josh Windisch. So we have two people now working on the site. During the show, like right now, James DeRuvo will be taking quick notes and putting those up on the site. And then Josh comes back later once we get the video up and ties it into the video. And then I'm hoping we shall start seeing comments. Now, we've created a commenting section. It's powered by a tool called Disqus, D-I-S-Q-U-S. And it requires sign-in, and there's a reason for that. I think Anonymous, it's funny, they were talking about this on Aaron Sorkin's show, the newsroom, this past Sunday. I thought that was kind of interesting. They got in trouble because they had anonymous comments on the site. And he got a death. Actually, no, he didn't get a death threat when they were anonymous comments, did he? He just got he got stupid comments. And I think there's something to be said. There's for anonymity on the net and for authenticity on the net. There's a reason for both. The anonymity is important, certainly, so that people can speak truth to power without, you know, running scared, as in Egypt, with the Egyptian spring, and that's so important, and, you know, whistleblowers and so forth. So and anonymity also allows people just to be more honest sometimes, but it also allows people to be trolls and hit and run and stuff. And so we do allow anonymity in some of the stuff we do. Our chat room, we allow anonymity, and that's one of the reasons we have to be very aggressive in the moderation of our chat room. We have great moderators who make sure it stays good, because the problem with anonymity is there's a certain small number of people who use anonymity as an excuse to behave poorly. Hey, I can never get caught. No one knows who I am, so I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do, be a brat. And given the chance, I think there are people, not many, but there are people who will really be bratty. So we went back and forth, and we decided really that for a site like this, there's no need for anonymity. All we're doing is we're giving you a chance to give your additional information about the question. So why should you need anonymity? So we still kind of get a little bit of anonymity. In order to comment on there, you'll have to sign in with an account, Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever. And, you know, Twitter kind of allows anonymity, but we can at least tie it back to an account. And I think that's going to give people a little bit of accountability. I think that's a good thing. So please, but don't be, and I know that means there's an extra step to commenting, but it's not very onerous, I don't think. If you want to comment and you're not signed in, it'll just say connect with, and then there's a little Twitter, there's a little Facebook, there's a little Google Plus, and then you can sign up with Disqus. And you can use any of those. And once you do that, it'll remember you. You don't have to do it again. That way, I think we're going to have better value. You can also, and I like this, you can vote up or down responses. If you like a response, you can vote it up. Now, that you can do anonymously, okay? So please do that, because that's one of the ways we're going to determine the Hero of the Week. But also, the responses with the most votes will go up in the rankings. And in time, I think, what I hope this site will be is you'll go there saying, well, what's better, an Android or an iPhone? Or that one I just talked about. Do Android phones work with Macs? That's a great question, right? Somebody will go there. They'll see what I say about it, but they can also see what you say about it. And because of the voting, the best answers will rise to the top. That's my hope, anyway. So that's the episode guide. There's also you can search by topic. There's a tag cloud. So if there's stuff that you want to know, you know, I want to see all Leo's answers about mobile phones. You click that topic link and you'll see a bunch of questions and answers about mobile in general. Isn't that good? Oh, I love this site. We've just started setting it up, so you'll probably find some bugs. If you do, let me know. And then there's a great little Google map with all the stations we're on. Wow, look at all those. Look at all those stations. So if you're trying to figure out where can I hear the Tech Guy show, it's more than 180 stations now across the United States. And the Google map will make it really easy. Just go where go zoom to your location and you can see the nearest station. That is nice. What else? There's an FAQ where you could frequently asked. It's actually really answers to frequently asked questions. It should be a FAQ, shouldn't it? AFAQ. And so there's information in here about what we do and so forth. And finally, a link back to the old Tech Guy Labs, which isn't working so well right now. But at least the data's there. Looks like the formatting is all munged up. We'll fix that. Eventually, we hope to get all the old stuff. I mean, look at this is show 897. We're almost at 900 shows. There's a lot of old stuff. So it's taken us a while to get it moved over to the new site. I really thank the folks who did this design. They just did a swell job. Credits, the company's name is Lullabot. And the architect was a guy named Jeff Eaton. And the designer was a guy named Jared Poncho. And they just did a fantastic job with this. Just beautiful. And Josh Windisch helped out a lot during the design of the site. So did Colin Weir on my team. I couldn't be happier. I hope you like it. I hope you find it useful. So take a look at the new Tech Guy Labs site. That's our new website, techguylabs.com. And, you know, there's a link there, by the way, not as easy maybe to find, to our chat room. Love to see you in there. And to the phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO. In fact, I think we're going to go to the phones next. Your call's next. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Having a monitor there. Thank you. Why, you thought the shot looked bad? No, they're talking
it
about this. It's a little cut
hottest
off,
topic
probably.
In business today.
No.
And I have to say,
you
it
pumped
is what
my
I
ball.
Recommend. Moving
right. That's why.
The business to the
whenever
cloud,
he pumps
what
my ball,
I
rise.
And I'll tell you, you get everything.
I
you
rise.
Get not just email.
I get
collaboration
bigger.
Tools like instant messaging.
Yeah, no. Actually, you can
chat,
see my head. It's
get,
just the headphones.
Course, word processing,
and I don't mind that.
Presentation,
all I'm good. Don't mess with the perfection.
It looks like it's your
You can see the right on the air sign.
Running on one of the most reliable communication platforms.
In the two shot, you can see my sword.
What about support? What about
migration? With which I smite. This is the ban hammer.
A Google.
I smite bad chatters.
In fact, they do this worldwide.
That's
they
the ban sword
to the cloud. With
Dan
Google
has
apps.
A ban hammer. I have a ban sword.
Free activation, setup, yes, and support for just $3.95 a month. You call them now and get some help. 888-5-7. You'll be amazed how easy.
I'm in
it.
Heaven. I can always use more. Yeah, because I am always unplugged or crap. Yeah,
online.
And glue it down or Velcro it down.
T-A-C.
Thank you.
O-R-E.
Aren't you nice? I love all the little things you're doing bit by bit to make, like that monitor is just fantastic. Thank you. This is great because I could see what's going on here, but it's nice as I'm looking at the camera to peripherally.
That's the best monitor from the radio.
Ah. Why waste it? It's perfect. So I'm looking at the camera, right? But see, I need to know peripherally. First of all, I love to have the little monitors facing me because then I know what, you know, I know what camera I'm on, so I know that I'm, you know, what the shot's looking like. But also, then I can peripherally see, like, if I'm on this, I'm going, what? What? There's something wrong. That shouldn't be there.
Or we haven't switched the stream. This is showing the stream.
That's showing the stream. That's good to know. So that's program.
Right.
That's what we want. No, art's not in my way. Art's perfect. You know, life is short, but art is long. Do you ever say that, Art? Is that your motto? Life, vita brevis, ars longa. Life is short, but art is long. That's Ozzy.
He lives with us here now. I mean, he's like...
We can't do anything without Ozzy around. I can't really show you. We don't have a camera facing that way. But you could come around back. Come back. Come over here. And then the people in England will believe you. Oh, you got a minute or two. Just dance a little bit. Wave. Say hello. See?
See? There you are.
Here, I can put you on this shot, too.
Oh, yeah, see?
Who let her in?
Can't do it here.
We can do photos later. I'm going to run out of here after the show, right after the show, because Lisa and I are going to the Stone show at Treasure Island. There's a she likes like jade. She likes what do they call them? Precious stones, semi precious stones.
Yeah.
She likes crystals, jade, stuff like that. So we're going to go Treasure Island. There's a big. Oh, he's a sweet dog. What kind of dog do you have? Oh. Yeah, well, that's like a schnauzer a little bit. I love schnauzers. Ozzy is a papillon. Yeah. You know, it's funny because people didn't know papillons until a papillon won the Westchester Dog Show, and then all of a sudden everybody knows a papillon. Yeah. He's now a known breed. The Tucson Gem... Do you go to that, Dr. Mom? The Tucson Gem Bead Show? Is that the big one? It must be. Yeah, because Tucson, they got all that beautiful turquoise. I don't think Lisa likes turquoise. She doesn't like amber. I know that. She likes. She buys big balls made out of jasper and weird tourmaline or whatever they're called. Just weird. So she has lots of. She has a big collection of. She gets them from China. Yeah. Well, that's where they're all made anyway. And so it's just whether you buy it from a distributor, but she saves so much money by buying it direct.
Launch approval. Launch approval. Launch approval.
Is this what is this? I like it. This is probably a tie into the Mars landing that's coming up. Are you excited about that? That's really exciting. Oh, me too. I love space. Do or die time for Curiosity, the rover. Curiosity?
A girl named it.
So it's a girl. It was a contest. Oh, that's neat. Curiosity is a great name. So Curiosity will be landing on the red planet tomorrow night. And we're going to be covering it live on our Twit network. We have a space fetish. Is that what you call it? We are interested in space. And so we will be covering it live on twit.tv. Of course, you get NASA TV, so yeah. So you can always watch that. But if you want to watch our commentary with Tom Merritt from our network and Dr. Kiki, our resident scientist, and Phil Platt, the bad astronomer, who is really great. He's a great astronomer. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. I believe that 10:30 Pacific, which is what, 1:30 a.m. Eastern time, Curiosity will be landing. There's a 14-minute time lag, you know, from Mars to Earth. So maybe I hope they've added the 14 minutes to give us an accurate time. Great article in the LA Times today talking about it, and they mentioned this, the 14-minute time lag. So Curiosity will land, and we won't know for 14 minutes whether it was a success or not. In the last sentence of the article, can 700 scientists hold their breath for 14 minutes? We'll find out tomorrow night. Really exciting. Really exciting. And old Mac Daddy says, no, Curiosity, it's just a studio somewhere in Hollywood. The whole thing is state. No, come on. You guys are cranky. Does anybody really still believe that this stuff is a hoax? I can't even imagine why we would go to such effort to create such a hoax. I don't know. I think we've had such success, and it's just so inspiring to see the work that these scientists do so successfully, to do you watch the Olympics and you watch humans do amazing feats of athleticism, just beautiful, brilliant things. Gabby's amazing performance at the Olympics, gold medal performance. But then that's one kind of amazing human achievement. And I think we should also celebrate this landing on Mars, because this is another kind. This is a form of a mental and engineering achievement that is just mind-boggling. Just brilliant. I'm still waiting for Windows XP. I'm stalling a little bit. So a little behind the scenes stuff here. I have the call screening apparatus I use is an old HP Compact TC4200 laptop, which runs Windows XP. I don't know how old this thing is. I think it's as old as the show, which means I started using it in the early part of the 21st century. and it's starting to feel its age, and so I'm just waiting for the call screening software to. There we go, slowly boot, and now I have control. Hey, let's go to the UK. What do you say for our first call? Does that sound good? On line two, Paul in Essex via Skype. Hey, Paul, Leo Laporte, can you pick that up for me, Kyle? Because I can't. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hi, Leo. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Are you all excited in the UK about the Olympics, or is it just, an annoyance?
No. It's quite exciting, and I'm really surprised how well we've done with all the gold medals that we've been getting.
So yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And I have to say, I know there probably were some complaints about the opening ceremonies. I thought they were just fabulous and fantastic. And it did make me want to visit England. So I know it's expensive and it's annoying to people who live in London, particularly because you can't get around. But boy, what an advertisement for Great Britain.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. The opening ceremony I found was quite long-winded.
Yes.
And the Danish team came on near the end, but by the time we actually finished watching it, it was nearly 2 o'clock in the morning when England arrived. So, but it was very, very good in Hull, I think.
Oh, yeah. I just felt to me like it was just like England, kind of quirky, funny, brilliant. It felt great to me. And I think it was a great advertisement. So you all, I'm sure everybody in Great Britain is very proud right now.
Oh, we are. Yeah. And all the newspapers over here and all on the internet, it's all about how Great Britain's doing so well in the Olympics.
Yeah, isn't that good? I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend in France right now. He said all the French can talk about is their one gold medal winner.
Wow, yes. I've not been following the French, actually. But
Agnel, you know, his name is, the swimmer. But it's interesting. I think often the home country does better just because they're at home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. This is true. And I mean, I don't really go for the Olympics myself, but this particular one, now we're starting to win all these gold medals and silvers and bronzes, I'm starting to pay attention now,
exactly.
You know.
That's how they get you.
Absolutely.
It is. It's a wonderful event, and it's the whole world, which I really enjoy seeing everybody together playing sport, as you call it, instead of fighting and arguing, but in good sportsmanship. And it's just wonderful, you know. It makes me feel very happy. Anyway, but enough of that. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got a couple of questions for you that I'd like you your expert advice on, because I know you're an expert on both of these topics.
Okay.
The first question is, is it possible to save audiobooks to SD card from an audible.co.uk app? Or is there a third-party app to do this?
Oh, you mean on Android or iOS? It must be Android. There's no SD card in iOS.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Correct, first time.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of interesting about Android in general, is that you can put SD cards in many Android phones. On the other hand, the thing that many find quite challenging is that there are rules and restrictions. For instance, some apps can be moved to SD card, some cannot. Some apps' data can be moved to SD card, some cannot. The trick on moving the data to the SD card is that feature has to be built into the app, as far as I know, has to be built into the app. The app has to have the sense to say, where would you like me to store your data? And I'm just going to launch the Audible app here and see if there's any setting like that. Because that's...
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah, there'd be no magic way of doing it, to my knowledge. Download settings. Let's look in here. Yeah, it doesn't look like you can, in fact, do that. That's a shame, because that would be a nice feature, because, of course, you're limited on most Android phones. You'll have limited internal storage, but you can always put a 32-gig card in there and add to the SD, but you can't guarantee that it'll be stored there. Maybe somebody in the chat room knows. Can you, in the Audible app on Android, force it to save data to the external SD card? Now, you said you had two questions, so hang on, Paul. We'll get to your second. Scott Wilkinson's coming up, too, our home theater guy, right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't think there's any way to do that. It's an interesting question. Say again? Well, this is what I do. I like playing with other different... Oh, how do I manage the numbers? That is a little more tricky. The way I do it is a couple of things. One is you have a single Google Voice number, and it rings all of them. So I give that number out instead of any individual phone number. And then, unfortunately, for some reason, I'm not sure why, and it's a bug in Google Voice, some of the people who call me on a regular basis... it just rings, doesn't ring through. It just goes right to voicemail for reasons I don't understand. So for them, I've given them a cell phone number, but the problem is that it's different all the time. So I gave them one number, and I just forward that phone to whatever phone I'm using. The only thing I haven't licked is text messages. You can't forward, as far as I know, nothing forwards text messages. So I have to get them to text my Google Voice number, which nobody does. Also, unfortunately, on Google Voice, texting is just text. It's not, they don't have MMS, so you can't send pictures or video. Yeah, if everybody's on an iPhone, then it's easy because iMessage will solve that. But as soon as somebody doesn't use something from Apple, then you're kind of out of luck. And sir. Yeah, well, we'll see. AT&T, I don't know how it is in San Rafael, but AT&T's fine here, but in San Francisco, it's unusable. Yeah. So, it's okay. Yeah. I would think it's just San Francisco because everybody has iPhones. Everybody has an iPhone in San Francisco. How old's your daughter? You have adult daughters. Mine's 20. I mean, that's an adult. You know, they grow up so fast. My mom's going to be 80 in January. I was like, wow, I remember. I just feels like yesterday I flew my sister out for my mom's 60th birthday. And it's like, I'm almost 60 now. And it's like, seems like it was just yesterday. And all of a sudden, my mom's 80, which means if you do the math, I'm going to be 80 someday. If I'm lucky. But you feel pretty good, right? 75 is the new 74, I think. I'm praying. I don't mind going, but I want to be mobile and active up to the point I go. I know I'm going to go, what I don't want is a long time of that I'm immobilized or I'm not all there and all that stuff. I have a pact. Put a pillow on the face. If I don't know what I'm doing, pills. Am I all there right now, says Dan. That's not clear, actually, Dan. I don't know. I may not be all here. I definitely feel my mind going. I feel like Hal in 2001, because I'll try to remember something and it's just gone. Yeah, Web 1748, I understand you can force apps with some apps to move to SD, but he's not asking that. He's asking data. And my experience with this is a recipe for disaster. I would not recommend this because, ooh, is this something exciting and wonderful? Ooh. Yeah, because I'm down to $2,000 in my checking account. We're going to the gem. What is it called? It's the semi-precious balls. Hold on, I'm on the air now, so don't say that.
All right, you got a DSL Extreme Build.
Thank you, sir. It's actually Essex calling. Paul is in Essex, and we're going to get to our home theater guy in a second, but Paul, I thought I'd give you, finish up with you on the call. So you had another, and by the way, Noah's come up with a way to... There are ways to move apps to, as you probably know, to the SD card, even against their will. But I wouldn't recommend that. And B, it doesn't solve the issue of where the data goes.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So that pretty much clears up.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Okay, just so we can get a move on, because I know you've got other callers. What it is, my second question is the Carbonite US offer and promo code available to Carbonite UK subscribers?
That's a good question. You know, I would guess so, but I don't know. So, first of all, I'm glad to know there's a Carbonite UK. I didn't even know that.
There is.
That's great.
Yep.
You know what? If try it. I will ask my Carbonite, of course, is a backup plan. It's a sponsor of this show and many of my other podcasts and so forth. I'm a very big fan. But I don't know. You know, you have to understand that although you can hear this show worldwide via the internet, nobody who buys advertising on this show is paying any attention to that fact. Because, and this is, in my opinion, this is one of the things that we have to kind of solve for podcasting, the kind of internet broadcasting I do to succeed. We have to figure out a way to monetize it internationally, because more than a third of the people who are listening to this show right now, more than a third are outside the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but we can't, you know, we can't charge advertisers for those people because advertising agencies are at best, you know, a national concern. There's no such thing as an international advertising agency. So the budget that Audible U.S. has and spends on advertising, they don't get any benefit from in the U.K. Now, I think, you know, some of our advertisers, Ford and Audible, which are very much global companies, know very well they're getting international benefit. Carbonite knows very well it's getting international benefit, but they just consider that part of the... It's a freebie.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Great to talk to you, Paul. I'll find out for you, but go ahead and sign up anyway. You should absolutely not delay having a good backup thing, regardless of whether you get the promo code.
Just one more question for you before I let you go, Leo.
Yes.
Last one. What do you think of the Samsung Galaxy range of tablets, the 7-inch and the 10.1?
I love them. Highly recommend them. But I have to say that given the price of the Nexus 7 now, which is $200 or $250, it's hard to recommend the Galaxy 7 because it's twice or, as much or more. So I'm a big fan. I am a big fan of Android tablets. I think Android has come of age. But given that you now have a choice from Google of the Nexus 7 for $200 for 16 gigabytes, if you want, or I'm sorry, 8 gigabytes, if you want 16 gigabytes. Is that right? No, 16 and 32. Yeah, $200 for 16 gigabytes, $250 for 32 gigabytes. That's such a compelling price. Now, there's no 3G on that. It's Wi-Fi only. But, boy, these are nice tablets. All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Thanks. We got Essex calling. Now it's time to say hello to our good friend Scott Wilkinson. He's the online editor for the Home Theater magazine. HomeTheater.com joins us every week to talk about home theater. Have I been loving watching the Olympics on my 10-foot screen?
Oh, man, that must be
surround
great.
Surround sound. But I did get a note on the door. The neighbors were not too thrilled. And actually, that wasn't the Olympics. I made a mistake. I wanted to get ready for The Dark Knight Rising, so I was watching The Dark Knight Begins.
Good for you. Well, it's actually called just The Dark Knight.
The Dark
You're
Knight.
Exactly right. Batman. You need to watch the first one. Batman Begins and The Dark Knight before you go see Dark Knight Rising.
And something about these movies, and I noticed this, I saw The Dark Knight Rising, and I was thinking, now, how would this be when I play this on my surround sound at home? And I realized it would annoy the neighbors just as much because, and maybe you can help me with this, the dialogue is normal levels, you know? So I turn it up to a normal level, and then something blows up. Or a river flows or something, and if the surround sound kicks in and the subwoofers kick in, and suddenly I am a bad neighbor.
You know, I noticed this on The Dark Knight Rises. I had to sort of take my earplugs in and out. I had to take them out to hear the dialogue, especially Bane, who was kind of difficult to understand anyway.
But it's you know, that's good. It's big. It's large dynamic range. That's good. They're not compressing the heck out of it.
Yes. But you're right. It makes bad neighbors.
Yeah, and I was listening in the movie theater when I saw the new one, and it's huge. It fills the theater, and then it's normal again. And so all I could do was turn it up and down, and I still got complaints. So
I hate doing that, and I hate suggesting the alternative.
Well, what's the alternative? What could I do?
Well, your receiver, I believe you have an Onkyo, right?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it has what's sometimes called a midnight mode, or a low volume, which is basically dynamic range compression.
It'll do it automatically.
Yes.
I'll turn that on. It is the midnight mode, because after 10 p.m., I'm not allowed to watch Batman movies. Now, what I was doing, somebody suggested, well, just turn up the center channel, because that's where the dialogue is, and then you can keep everything lower.
Yeah, that might work. But again, the movies like Batman and Dark Knight and all these kind of action movies typically do have a very wide dynamic range, where, as you say, the dialogue is one level and the explosions are a completely different universe altogether.
Right.
So in that case, when you're living in an apartment particularly and you've got, you know, neighbors that you have to be concerned with, you have to engage that midnight mode. Yeah. It's the best way to do it, because then... You know, you don't get the dynamic range that you want, that I certainly want.
She was cute. My neighbor was very sweet. I went over and I apologized. She said, oh, it's fine. I understand. I was just trying to sleep. But she said, and she knew. She said, when you have a television like ours and the surround sound kicks in, my wall starts moving.
Sort of like in The Matrix, right, where the walls kind of bend around.
Yeah, so I completely understand. I want to be a good neighbor. So now I could wear headphones, but I'm going to lose. I have 5.1 surround with a subwoofer, I'm going to lose a lot of that, you know.
You know, there is a way around that, too. It's expensive. You can get a device called the Smith Realizer, which is like $3,500, but it gives you really, really good simulated surround out of headphones. And it even goes so far as to, when you first get it, you put some little microphones in your ears and it generates a mathematical representation of your particular ears and then recreates the surround system based upon that. It's very realistic, very, very convincing. So,
this is from SVS or S. It's Smith spelled with a Y.
Smith spelled with a Y. Smith, yes. Yeah. But it's still pronounced Smith, yeah.
Huh.
Exactly. Smith Research, I believe, is the name of the company.
Oh, wow. But now, you said it's $3,500?
Yeah. Something like that. Something right around there.
Wow.
It's very expensive, but it's really cool.
Maybe I get the neighbors to chip in.
Now, some receivers, I don't know about the Onkyo, but some receivers have surround sound simulation in headphones. The most common one, I think, is from Dolby. It's called Dolby Headphone.
Right.
Which was originally developed by an Australian company.
Can you get that in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, some receivers. I don't know how many. I haven't done a survey, but there are some receivers with Dolby Headphone in it. And if you activate that, you get a pretty convincing simulation of surround sound in headphones. So that's another way to go.
All right. Yeah, no, I had some Dolby headphones. I just didn't know if it took off. I thought it didn't kind of...
Well, it didn't take off as a separate product, as a third-party product. But it did take off as a feature that some receiver manufacturers put into their receivers.
All right.
So I don't know if the Onkyo has it.
No, I don't know. But I'll have to look. That thing has so many features, I can't find them all.
Now, I have to tell you, before we run out of time, I've been watching the Olympics now in 3D.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was going to ask you about that. 3D Olympics. Oh, hold on a second. That's a good tease. We will talk 3D Olympics, how to do it, and whether it's worth it when we return. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, wow, I want one of these, a Realizer A8.
Oh, man.
That's so expensive.
It's very expensive, but it's really, really cool. Sybil in the chat room is also mentioning an app for the iPhone.
Oh, SRS makes an app, yeah.
Is it SRS makes one? I think they do. Is it SRS Headquake?
SRS, you need some extra hardware.
Apple stores nationwide. Yeah.
I have it here somewhere.
Headquake is not from SRS, I don't think. I can't remember where it's from. Who makes it, though?
SRS calls theirs iWow.
iWow!
iWow! And so you plug it in. It's a little dongle. You plug into the audio jack of your... It actually does do some sort of imaging stuff.
Yeah.
You plug it into your iPhone or whatever, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess you need an iOS app, so it has to be an iPhone or an iPhone. It works with Android. But you do need an app, I think, for this.
SRS knows what they're doing when it comes to simulated surround. They've been doing this for a long time. By the way, they just got acquired by DTS.
Really?
Yep.
One of their big competitors.
In a sense, yep. But now they are part of the same happy family.
So iWow Universal. Okay, I'm going to try this right now.
Sybil in the chat room says Sonic Emotion needs no hardware. Well, that's not exactly true. That Sonic Emotion is a 3D surround sound simulator that's meant to be produced by a sound bar, and the sound bar has to have the Sonic Emotion.
Is that the one we saw 2 years ago at CES? We were all excited about.
Yep.
That never took off.
Well, it sort of did, but sort of didn't. We've reviewed 2 soundbars with it now, and both of them reviewed very poorly.
Oh, that's too bad. Dr. Mom says if you put the Audible directory on the external SD card, you can play the files. Does the Audible app just see them, or how does it know they're there? That's really cool if that's the case. I won't. It's not hard. It's just complicated. Oh, there it is. I see.
Sybil, yes. Headquake iOS needs no hardware. That's true. It just is an app, I think, that goes into the headphone. I didn't get one. I should have gotten one. Oh, I think you're right. It is Sonic Emotion. Sybil, you're right.
What?
Now remember, the Headquake app
is Sonic Emotion.
Sonic Emotion. That's correct.
Oh.
That is correct.
Well, that makes me want to try it now.
I think it may only work on you know, audio files that you play from your iPhone rather than
So Dr. Mom, you just moved them over to the S3 card, and you play it with the Audible app, and it works fine. So it must see the SD card. I'm answering two questions at once.
Yeah, I know. I kind of am, too. Caffeine-free Dave asks about, what about sound traps or acoustic panels in your studio, in your apartment? That might help to some degree.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go. Yeah, okay. I'm going to.
But it's very.
I'm going to rebuild the apartment around me. That's it's a pretty good. It's got cement floors and stuff. I mean, it's pretty well. It's about as good as you're going to get. I mean, it's well built. Mm-hmm. Inline mic and button functionality. Oh, that's interesting. It's got a mic on here. 3 second hold down equals power on off. Single press equals enhancement on off. Quick double press means headphone mode. And it has little face plates to go with it. This is kind of cool. I'll have to.
Oh,
maybe skin. I'll do a review of this on the.
Before you buy.
They sent this to me, or before you buy, they sent this to me ages ago. Well, the Gizwiz now, I'm doing crap we found in SkyMall. That's it. I'm waiting for my orbital skates to show up. All right, here we go.
Okay, Leo, Carbonite Library here.
Got it. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the number. We're talking with home theater guru Scott Wilkinson of Home Theater Magazine, hometheater.com. And just real quickly, Paul, before we get back to Scott, Paul called from Essex, remember, and he was wondering if he could use the Audible app and have his Audible files on the SD card on his Android phone. And Dr. Mom, who uses a Galaxy S3, says, yes, in fact, she has been able to do that. She just took the SD card, copied the files on there, and somehow the Audible app just saw it. Now, you can't do it from within the Audible app, but apparently if there are files, you have to create an Audible folder on the SD card. I would look at how it's done on the internal device and make it the same folder name. And then, yes, it will see it. So that's good news. Thank you, Dr. Mom, in our chat room. And I hope that helps you, Paul. Meanwhile, back to Scott Wilkinson, hometheater.com. Scott hosts a great Home Theater Geeks podcast on our Twit network every Monday at 1 p.m. Is that right? Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific?
More or less.
More or less.
Unless it gets delayed.
Well, you know, start at 1 and then at some point it will come on.
Exactly.
right after I-5, right? Is that what? Oh, no, right after.
No, it's right after.
This Week in Enterprise Tech. So that's that can go along. So 1 p.m., 4 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv. Mm-hmm. Who's your guest on Monday?
Kevin Wines, the director of imaging technology at THX. We're going to be talking all about the future of TV technology.
Wow.
So that's going to be very cool.
Wow. So you really, that's interesting. I mean, you really get hardcore into this stuff on that show.
I do. I love thinking about, I mean, it's called Home Theater Geeks. So, you know, we get geeky
for
sure.
Geeking out. So let me ask you about 3D. Now, which events did you watch in 3D on the Olympics?
Well, they have 3D cameras at the Aquatic Center, so there's swimming and diving and stuff, and at the gymnastics venue, and I've been watching a lot of gymnastics.
I could see. I don't know about swimming, but I guess diving,
Diving's pretty cool. I even saw yesterday they had one clip from the canoe sort of slalom
course. Oh, that thing is wild.
That was pretty cool.
The man-made rapids? Wow.
Yes, exactly. And the shots, particularly looking up the rapids, are really quite effective.
So,
and I'm looking forward to track and field next week.
I noticed this on my on demand. On my Xfinity on demand, they have a special section 3D.
Yep.
So I know cable will do this. Can you do it on? Can you see it on satellite as well?
On DirecTV, not
Direct
on
TV.
Dish.
Okay.
Yep. And in fact, I had DirecTV installed just for this purpose, so I can see the Olympics in 3D.
And it will work with any 3D-enabled television?
Correct.
Okay.
Any enabled 3D television or 3D projector. Now, I have to give you the bad news.
Oh.
The bad news is, so far, I have seen so much ghosting.
Oh,
or
no.
What's sometimes called crosstalk, which is when the left eye gets some image of what the right eye is supposed to be seeing and vice versa. There's a lot of it going on, and I'm quite disappointed in that. It's very distracting, actually. I'm about to do a test. I actually recorded something else besides the Olympics in 3D on the DVR called IMAX Space Station 3D. And I just ordered the Blu-ray of that as well. I'm going to watch some pieces of the Blu-ray, and then I'm going to look again at the broadcast, which is a 1080i, right? It has to – they can't – well, it's not a 1080i. I mean – it's they've reduced the resolution by half for broadcast because I have to fit it in the same amount of bandwidth, broadcast bandwidth, that a regular high-def channel goes through.
So it's 3D, but lower resolution.
Correct.
Oh, that stinks.
Correct. There's no way around it at this point. So I want to see if the ghosting really is due to that.
Right.
I can't imagine that it would be, but... maybe it is. Maybe there's something wrong with the feed. I'm still investigating this, and I'm going to be writing about it on the website. But that is the bad news. The good news is I enjoy it. I think it looks really good when I'm not being distracted by that crosstalk.
Right.
I thought the
opening ceremonies... How about length of time that you watch? Is that a problem? I mean, can you get fatigued?
I don't.
Okay.
But a lot of people do. You know, that is certainly a complaint that I hear very often. So, you know, it's an individual thing. Either you're going to get tired of it or you're not. I don't. My wife gets more tired of it than I do. Yeah. We've been watching together some of it, and after a little while, she kind of goes, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. And you you started to say the opening ceremonies, they looked good?
I thought they looked very good.
Oh, I'd love to see them in 3D.
I like them quite a bit. So other than this crosstalk issue. So I think, unfortunately, it's been called sort of the Avatar moment of broadcast 3D. And if that's true... it's not as successful as Avatar was for 3D right. movies because there's this problem. Also, in some shots, particularly of Bob Costas at the beginning introducing, saying, and now you're going to see, you know, the swimming in 3D, you know. And
does he go like they did on the SCTV and go, Doc, what was it, Dr. somebody's 3D theater? And he'd go, Dr. Horrible's 3D. He'd go in and out. And now in 3D. You know, Bob Costas looks weird even on 2D. There's something they're doing with him. I think it's because I think they've got a gauze over the lens. There's something going on there. I'm not kidding.
Smeared some Vaseline.
There's
on the
something
lens.
Going on. They don't want you to see what Bob really looks like.
Well, this has been a problem with high def all along.
Dr.
You know,
Tongue.
Every wrinkle and every cake of pancake makeup and everything that's
yeah, we
that's
see too much. Scott Wilkinson, he's the editor-in-chief of Home Theater Magazine. Go to hometheater.com to find out more and watch him on Home Theater Geeks. He'll be on Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you, Scott. We'll see you next week. Mike, Maine, Leo, how you
Good
doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Maine.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've inherited a 2-year-old Sony LED TV that really
awesome.
Has a great picture. Very
That's
happy with it.
Great TV.
Big TV. And it has an Ethernet connection on the back, but I don't have any kind of Ethernet connection where I need to put it. Now, I do have a wireless router, a D-Link DIR655 all set up and the network running. Not that it runs so well, but I can connect up. And I'm wondering what I need to do if I can connect this Sony TV and actually a Sony Blu-ray player that I have for it, too, to my wireless network.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to do this is get something called a wireless to Ethernet bridge.
Okay.
And what it is a Wi-Fi receiver with an Ethernet on it.
All right.
And, you know, they're about $50 to $100. Netgear makes them, links it. What's the manufacturer of your Wi-Fi router?
It's a D-Link.
So I would get it from D-Link.
Okay.
And sometimes they call it an entertainment bridge because that's exactly what people are using this for. They have exactly your situation. Their home theater is nowhere near an Ethernet port. And so they call this an entertainment bridge because that you connect it to it has Ethernet for your Blu-ray and your TV, and then it gets the Wi-Fi from the air. And so this really solves that issue.
Do you have a model number or anything I can look for from D-Link so that I can walk into a store?
Let me just see if I can find one from D-Link. I'm looking at, Linksys makes them in Netgear. D-Link wireless bridge. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break when we come. Keep listening. When we come back, I'll have that for you, Mike. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Actually, here's a whole article, which I'll put in the show notes. Yeah. If you're in the professional support business, an IT professional, software support guy or gal.
You like it?
You know about remote access. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the ability to fix a computer from far. But you also probably know and maybe even use remote monitoring. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find one tool that does it all, lets you fix problems remotely, but lets you see problems before
It's weird that it happens with Bob.
That's the
Bob,
new
Bob Costas is thank you,
you
so
this?
Much, Grog. You're the best.
A brand new Go-To Assist, even if you've tried
so
it
So this is, they call it the D-Link Extreme N Duo Wireless Bridge Access Point DAP 1522.
Exactly what hardware and software is running.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. It's to do. And you notice they have the family gather around the TV. This is totally, you know, what they. This is why people get this thing. Unfortunately, this uses WPS. That's so annoying. God, that's so bad. Well, WPS is insecure. It's been hacked. So that's the only thing wrong. So the way it works is you plug it in. It's just like a Wi-Fi. It's like a router. It just gets the data through there, and it has four Ethernet ports on this. What? What?
The 58th Annual San Francisco Gem and Mineral Society Show Treasure Island.
The 58th Annual San Francisco Gem and Mineral Show Society Show at TI.
And they're showing off a lot of their jade sculptures and things like that. It's a full exhibit in addition to
she's bringing me, which is. Yeah, but you know. I can't resist. You know I can't resist. Oh, what can I do for you, darling?
You, sir, used an app once about you were getting your place, where you mapped out your apartment.
Yeah.
What was that app?
How if I know?
It
was an iPad app. I'm sure I've deleted it. Let me look. Yeah. There are a number of them. It was an app cap. Do you need it for yourself?
Well, for a friend who I'm helping.
So, yeah, the chat room will know. Chat room will know.
Are you promoting our website?
I did a whole, the first 15 minutes of the show on it. Yeah, all it is show it and talk about it. I'm glad you're here, Josh, in case of issues. Tomorrow is going to be an issue because James is off. Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen how well?
I know. He's doing a great job. Yeah, no, it's really good. We hired a full-time employee just to have do the show notes on the Tech Guy Lab site. You're not full-time? Are you full-time? Oh, Scott's still here, apparently. I'm sorry, Scott.
That's all right. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I asked you to stick around, but it turns out it was more of a tech question than a home theater question.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to add something to it, which was a Sony may very well make a wireless adapter for their TVs as well. I know they do. I don't know if it'll work with that particular model, but they do make one as well. So just something to add. It's called Bravia Internet Video Link, or Bivel.
Got it. So we'll put that in the show notes as well.
It's another possibility.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm a huge mineral and gem collector myself, so I am so jealous that you guys are going to be.
Oh, you should come up.
I would love to. I wish I could. But just tell Lisa that I'm a huge collector as well, and anytime you guys are in the LA area, I'd love to get together and show you my collection.
Cool.
My collection of etchings.
Cool.
My collection of minerals.
Thank you.
Including fluorescence.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be a geode cracking exhibit. And that's Michael will like that because he's 10. I did it with Henry once when he was about that age, and it's fun. In fact, I think I gave I used to give them geodes in their stocking, uncracked geodes, and it was fun. It was fun. Well, good. Did you hear that? Scott's a big gem and mineral. Do you collect balls like Lisa does?
I do. I have a huge collection on our dining room, on our living room coffee table.
So that's great. You should see hers. They're gorgeous. You guys should compare notes because
we should.
He says he has a huge collection himself of those. She has bowling ball size and bigger. No, they're not all that big. What's your favorite one, Lisa? I want to say there's one made out of Marmite, but I think that that's actually not a mineral.
No.
Her malachite lion. She's a beautiful lion. It's gorgeous. Yeah. I bet we'll see jade lions. What do you have that you like?
I've got my largest one is not quite bowling ball size, but it's close, and it's a green and brown onyx. It's
I love onyx.
Really, yeah. I also have quite a collection of rainbow obsidian. Does she know about rainbow obsidian?
Lisa Scott says he has a big collection of rainbow obsidian. Do you know about that? She says she loves it.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in Paris, she went into one of these shops, and the guy was really snooty, so he said, all right, fine, and walked out. He was a jerk.
You mean a rock and mineral shop?
Yeah, it was really neat. But he's, don't touch. No, get your fingers off. You Americans, you have greasy fingers. You have those hamburgers. He was just rude.
Sacre bleu.
So.
How about Spectralite or
Spectralite?
Labradorite?
Or Labradorite? I know she likes Labradorite. I do know she loves that, yeah. I don't know about Spectralite. Spectradorite. She
Spectralite is the same
it.
Thing.
Same thing.
It's the same. It's different name.
Different name for Labradorite.
Yeah, quite a bit of that as well. Oh, you guys are going to have a great time.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll take pictures.
Please do.
All right. Hey, thanks for sticking around. I appreciate it. Oh, what was the name?
Sure, no
what
problem.
Was the model number on that Sony? Let me write it down. Do you have it?
Oh, they just, it's called the Bravia Internet Video Link.
Do you think it would work better because he has a Sony?
It's a possibility. But I don't know if if his particular model is capable of taking a Bravia Internet Video Link module. It might not be. If it's
I get it. It's not a standalone. It goes into the TV.
It connects to the TV's Ethernet port.
Oh, interesting.
And in some cases, the TVs, Sony TVs, used to have like a module slot, almost like a card cage, where you'd stick this onto the back of the TV.
Right, made for that. They're kind of pricey. They're $176.
Mm.
But that's good to have. I'll keep that around.
The Gem Doctor makes a good point. Spectralite usually comes from Finland.
Ah, there you go.
Labradorite comes from Labrador.
Well, there you go. So our visitors are watching also in 3D.
Oh, yeah? What do they think?
They say the only thing that they got any ghosting on was Bob Costas. So I wonder if it's connected.
Well, it might be my projector.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to find out with this experiment with the space station. I'm glad they haven't seen the ghosting because it's really bothering me.
You're seeing a lot. They're using a Panasonic TV.
Okay, with active glasses.
And it's, so that's Panasonic active glasses. Yeah. Huh. By the way, your picture and your background just are fabulous. Thank you for doing that. It really looks good.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's so much better.
It really
looks good. Looks like a studio. It's great. All right, got to run.
All right.
Thanks Scott. Bye-bye. Many people don't know that Bob Costas has been dead for 23 years, and it's just the ghosting is literal, actually. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'm a kidder. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. The Tech Guy. Talking computers, the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. If you want to call and ask a question, make a comment or a suggestion, I invite you to visit our brand new, just open for the first time, Tech Guy Labs. Hope everybody's going by saying hi. It's got lots of information about the stations, the shows, As we do the show, notes will go up, and you'll be able to, you know, go back there and find all sorts of stuff. We've got links by topic. We've got links by there's a tag cloud. This is just beautiful. And thanks to everybody, Lullabot and Josh Windisch and the gang who put this thing together for us. We even hired a full-time staff member to maintain this. We have now two people working on this. TechGuyLabs.com. So before the break, we were looking for a way to attach a Sony TV to the internet. It's only got Ethernet. Our caller had Wi-Fi, but didn't have an Ethernet port near his TV. This is very common. So much so that Sony even makes a Bravia Internet video link. It's a little pricey, designed to solve this problem. It's about $176 on Amazon. He said he has a D-Link Wi-Fi router. And often I find that if you use the same manufacturer as your Wi-Fi router, for some reason it just seems to work better. And D-Link even has an article, which I have put on the website or will put on the website, how to extend your network with a wireless bridge. That's what this is called. This is such a common thing. They've got a whole page on the subject. Let's face it, they say, cables are a pain. But sometimes stringing lengths of cables is the only way to network wired devices. Internet TVs, Blu-ray drives, media players, game consoles in far-flung parts of the house. So this is their D-Link Extreme N Duo Wireless Bridge Access Point, the DAP 1522, DAP 1522. And of course, when you click the link on the D-Link website, it says no such page exists. But because, you know, that's like a hard thing to figure out how to make your links work. I understand having a website that no longer works perfectly. I understand. Let me see if I can find it on Amazon. Yeah, $75. So it's $100 less than the Sony solution. So, and I would guess it would work just as well, maybe even better, because you already are using a D-Link wireless access point. So I just think that's the way to go. 888. Anyway, thanks for the call. Hope we helped you, Mike. Appreciate your call. I'm sure this is not such an uncommon question. That's why we'll put it on the webpage along with everybody else. Chris, Livermore, California. Up the road a piece. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous right now.
Don't be nervous. It's just me.
And millions of people.
No, not millions. Maybe a million, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well,
just 1 million. Not millions, plural. You know, if I would be nervous, too, if I thought about that. Just pretend it's you and me, okay?
All right.
All right. And we got Shell and Art sitting in the studio. So it's you, me, and two people sitting in the studio. That's all. Oh, you, me, two people sitting in the studio. And then back in Sherman Oaks, we got Kyle and Gina. You, me, Kyle, Gina, Art, and Shell. And that's it. That's all of us. Five, you six people. Nothing. Nothing at all. What can I do for you? Well,
first I want to say that I'm a big fan, and I listen to all your podcasts.
Thank you. So. Somebody in our chat room. I guess it's you, me, Art and Shell, Kyle and Gina, and then about 1,000 people in the chat room. Killer BG says, it's easy. Do what he does. Imagine me naked while you're talking. That's terrible. That'll just scare the poor guy. So I'm going to cut to the chase because I see that you're looking for an iPad application for drawing. Is that right?
Yes. I like to sketch my favorite animation cartoons.
Oh, fun.
And I just bought a scanner to scan them in. But I have had trouble finding a application to color them in.
Ah, so that's a good. So you're not going to be doing fully drawing. You're going to be coloring stuff in. You know, there's some really wonderful drawing programs. There are literally more than a dozen great drawing programs on the iPad. And I would suggest that I'll give you a few that I really like. Okay. And then, unfortunately, the iPad doesn't have a way to try before you buy. So the one that's best known is from a company called Autodesk. It's called Sketchbook.
Yeah, I tried that, and it didn't have the Palmer support, which I really didn't like.
It didn't have which didn't what didn't it have that you needed?
Palm rest support. So you can't, like, rest your palm
on... Oh, so you mean, like, when you're drawing... Oh, yeah, well, that would be hard if you're an artist. you're saying that it should ignore a second point.
Yeah.
Because you're drawing, the tablet's pretty big, so you can't, like if you're drawing in the upper right-hand corner, inevitably your palm is going to hit below your pen. And then if the program says, oh, you're drawing with your palm, I see, and puts a big bloop there, that's not good.
Yeah, and if you're trying to draw in the middle of the screen, you kind of have to do like an aerial. It's not easy to draw.
How interesting. You know, I haven't checked. I'm going to give you three programs, and I haven't checked them for this issue. So you're going to want to look in the reviews and so forth. There's one that I've loved for a long time called Art Rage. Have you ever seen that?
No, I have not.
Art Rage, let me just make sure it's on the iPad. It's been around for a long time on desktop. And it is a great little drawing program. I highly recommend it. He recommends using a stylus. Are you using a stylus or are you using...
I'm using a stylus right now.
Okay. In fact, he makes, Art Rage makes a little brush stylus. It's actually like a brush, which is kind of cool. So that's one. I got one for 99 cents that I think is perhaps the most beautiful drawing program I've ever seen. It's called Art Set by L-O-F-O-P-I. Art Set, two words. And it's only 99 cents. What I like about this is one that really focuses on the natural tools. So it gives you a pen, a crayon, oil pastel, marker, of course, oils and watercolors. You have blending tools, the sponge. It gives you a very I just think this. Now, I'm no artist, so you're just going to have to try this and see. But it's all.
You can see
it here. Yeah, Art Set. And the other one, this company makes a bigger program. I would try Art Set because it's 99 cents. And then for $2.99, they make Wasabi paint. And it's even more elaborate. Although I think, really, for what you're describing, probably Art Set is plenty.
What do you think about Adobe Ideas?
I like Ideas. It's not really designed to be a drawing program specifically, because it's more about sketching your ideas. But if it works for you, and there's lots of others. Here's one, okay, boy, thanks to the chat room. They're so good. And the other one, I'll tell you about paper in a second. But Trip70 in the chat room is saying Sketchpad 3 Unlimited Canvas has palm rest. This is from Catalyst 2 Limited. So it's not related to the other Sketchpad. And it's free. So at least you can try it. This one looks like it's more like line drawing, however, but you could at least take a look at that. And then I really love, and I don't know if it'll do what you want, but I just so love this app. It's called Paper, and it's just beautiful. It's hard to describe. The idea is that it's your kind of your own journal, your notepad. It's by 53. And again, I don't know if it has palm rest support. I never check for that kind of thing, but it is a beautiful sketch. And that's just a few. There's many, many more. Hope some of those work for you, Chris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Paper's amazing. Paper's free, but then you pay for the brush sets, which I think is kind of sneaky, because I think, to be honest, Art Set is the most amazing for what it is. Which one? Paper? Art Set? Yeah, I love Art Set. Art Set is amazing. You know, Apple's search is so bad. I keep searching for stuff on, and you can't find it, but Google works fine. Art Set by L-O-F-O-P-I. If I had my iPad, I'd show you. It is, because I have it on there. It's just gorgeous. No, 99 cents. That's virtually free. What's a buck? Yeah, just look in your piggy bank. Piggy Bank will have it. This is just an amazing program, but I don't know if it has palm rest support. Killer BG says, for the record, I had never tried to picture Leo naked. And Sketchbook Pro has for palm rest as well. So if James, if you'd add all of the ones that we're getting from the chat room, that would be great. Color, he didn't say animation. He wants to color his He didn't say animation. He just wants to colorize his scanned-in photos or scanned-in drawings. So he draws it on paper, and then he wants to colorize it. So, yeah, I just discovered this one, and I really, really like it. But I can't draw. And then there's some that have been around for ages. Let me see. I can't remember. There's the one that did the New Yorker cover, that they used to do the New Yorker cover. Art Studio. It's not it. Brushes, that's the one that was used to do the New Yorker cover. $8. That's the problem. They're kind of expensive. Yeah. Well, I've mentioned all of these at some point or another on the on iPad Today, you bet. Oh, I love iPad Today. I'm so proud of that show. Yeah. Oh, isn't that exciting? Yeah. Well, you got to watch. It's a very good show. I'm very proud of it. So Brushes was the one I was trying to remember. Now, this one might be good. It's called Layers, because if you're doing coloring, the ability to do... What the heck? If you're doing coloring, yeah, it's like a coloring book is what he's doing. He scans in the original, and layers will let you kind of have opaque. Well, having layers is huge. Sketchbook, I think, does that as well. So that's Layers, Sketchbook Pro, Art Studio for iPad, Artist Touch, Sketches. There's so many choices. It's amazing. You know, he probably wanted to tell me about his site. Chris, if you're there, I'm sure what you wanted to do is show me what you've been doing, and I just ran out of time or I would have asked you. Yes, Sarah and I do get along well. We get along to the point so well now where we kind of, it probably people think, oh my God, they're so mean to each other, but it's just kind of fun little, yeah, it's love. And I've known Sarah for, she was on Tech TV. I've known her since 2000. Jessica Corbin was the redhead. Oh, are you thinking Kate? Kate Botello or Jessica? Kate, yeah. Kate was a redhead, too. Yeah. Kate predated. Kate was my co-host before Patrick. And she only did that for a year in 1998. And she hated me so much, she went to a different show. Oh, Sarah's going to do an AMA? Oh, that's awesome. I don't know what Sarah's natural hair color is. She's been many colors. It's for that. Comes 19th nervous breakdown. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 19 after the hour on our 19th nervous breakdown. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. We were talking to Chris. Chris, are you still there? I just wanted to ask before I got rid of you. Do you put these online anywhere? I'd love to see your drawings.
Oh yeah, I was originally intending on putting them on just my Facebook, but I can create a Tumblr and actually draw you.
Would you?
Yeah, I can.
So you haven't created it yet?
No, I haven't created it yet, but I will do that.
Then email me or go in the chat room and let us know. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'll put it on my Twitter page.
Awesome. What's your Twitter handle?
Oh man, I'm gonna follow now.
No, you won't. You're gonna get. I told you. You think there's millions listening? It's just you, me, Shell, Art, Kyle, Gina, and that one guy in the chat room.
All right. So it's Chris Sims 32 SIMS.
All right. I'll follow you, cool. And then you can tell me. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I just think the iPad, you know, the iPad is a little limited in one respect. It's not pressure sensitive. So what artists want is, of course, the ability to draw right on the screen because it's like real, you know. When artists, it took them a long time when computers first came out to get used to the idea that you'd move the mouse somewhere, you know, on the desk and be drawing on the screen. And if you're an artist, you're used to drawing where you see the paint come out, right? So it took a little while. And I know people, great artists, like my friend Bert Monroy, who's an amazing Photoshop artist, he said, yeah, at first it was like weird. You're moving a bar of soap, and then the painting comes out over there. But now people like Bert, who have, you know, do this for a living and they have some money to spend on it, will go out. They'll go out and get a Wacom, make something called the Cintiq, which is actually a monitor that you draw on. Of course, Apple's changed the game with touch screens and iPad. But the nice thing about Cintiq and the Wacom tablets is they're pressure sensitive. They have something like 20 or 30, I think it's 22 levels of pressure. So the harder you push, just as in the real world, when you have a brush and you're painting, if you have a light stroke, you just have a little thin line. And if you smush the smush the brush down, you'll get a big fat line. And they want, you know, that kind of control on a touchpad. And the iPad does not do it. There are ways to kind of fake it. But we are seeing now touch-sensitive screens, the Galaxy Note, which I love. This is Samsung's big screen. I call it a phablet. It's a phone with a 5.2 or 5.3-inch screen. That comes with a stylus, and it's touch-sensitive. So you can press harder or press lighter. And they have a demonstration program. It's a Japanese brush painting. And the control you have is so fine and beautiful. It just feels very nice. That, by the way, Samsung, which is in a battle royale with Apple, this week they went to court over the patent dispute. Apple claims that Samsung stole everything from the iPhone. They say the way a Samsung phone looks is because of the iPhone. They're copying us, and we want it to stop. They've demanded, and in fact, in some cases, they've gotten courts to ban Samsung devices in the U.S. But saying, well, they stole it. On the other hand, there are those, and I kind of include myself in this, that say, well, there's only a few ways you can do a touchscreen device, a phone. I mean, it's obvious, I guess. One of the things Apple is up in arms about is swipe to unlock. You know, the nice feature that you have on an iPhone, where, you know, you swipe your finger across it and unlocks it. Well, Android, Galaxy S3, Galaxy Nexus, many of the Samsung phones, really all the Android phones have something similar. When the screen is locked, you can see it, but you have to swipe your finger across it to unlock it. Apple says, no, they stole that. Yeah, I mean, so I understand it's Apple's right to do this and sue. And, of course, if they feel that it's been stolen, they have probably not merely a right, but an obligation to their shareholders to defend themselves. But I think for us as end users, it's just a bad trend. I mean, every tech company stands on the shoulders of what's gone before. It's just how things are in the world. And I think I understand Apple's right to do this. And I don't want to deny them the right to do this, but I wish they wouldn't. I wish they just focus on making a better phone and say, hey, look, we're number one. Nah, nah. We'll just make it better and better and better. Good luck. The problem is that, unfortunately for Apple, Samsung's caught up. The horse race is not much of a race. In fact, last quarter, Apple sold 26 million iPhones last quarter. Samsung sold 50 million phones. And I have to think that that's why Apple's suing them. Anyway, we are pretty sure there'll be a new iPhone in September. We're starting to see dates. It's always rumors. Apple doesn't announce, but we're starting to see dates from a number of sites. Probably there will be an Apple event announcing a new iPhone sometime in the first week of September. Well, they're saying September 12th, so I guess that's the second week. And that iPhone will, iMore is saying this, and iMore.com, which is a great Apple site, and that the iPhone will be available a couple of weeks later. And it's kind of interesting if Apple's event really is indeed September 12th, because Samsung has announced that they're going to show the next Galaxy Note, a very, very popular phone, the one I was talking about that has touch screen, a stylus, multiple pressure points. It's big. It's going to be even bigger than the new Galaxy Note 2. And they're going to announce it when? Well, a couple of weeks before Apple's event. This is a competitive environment, and I understand that these companies are at each other's throats, and it's great for you and me because it gives us choice. It means that we can choose, and if you choose an iPhone, fine, that's great. But even if you love your iPhone, you love it more than life itself, you've got to support these other companies because they're keeping Apple honest. They're innovating. You think Apple's not copying them? Heck yes. Of course they are. That's how it works. The notification system that Apple just put into Mountain Lion and has just been added to iOS comes straight from Android. It was absolutely copied from Android. Fine. That's how it works. And it's good for us. Even if you still just say, I just want an iPhone. That's all I want. That's fine. iPhone's getting better too. And it keeps the prices down. It keeps these teams on their toes. It's never good in any business when you get big, fat, happy, and complacent. Competition's good for us as users. So the Galaxy Note 2, August 29th, they say it's going to be even bigger, 5.5 inches, faster processor. They're saying a very good camera, better than the first generation, which was already excellent. And they claim, their Samsung saying it will be unbreakable. That I'll buy. How many phones? Oh, I'll buy unbreakable? You know, yeah, and waterproof. I've already broken one iPhone by dunking it in a glass of water. I have yet to have a drop test. I don't dare. I know these things are made of glass. I don't have to drop them to know they'll break. My kids do that for me. Actually, I shouldn't say kids. My daughter's been pretty good. She has not broken one yet. She's had one fly out the window. But I don't ask. But my son, everyone, the glass breaks. Everyone. It's made of glass. You have a phone. You make it out of glass and you make it slippery. What's going to happen? So I'd love to see an unbreakable phone. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, even I need competition. I have competition. There's another person doing this kind of show. There's several people. In fact, every market has somebody doing this show. But there's somebody doing it nationally. Her name is Kim Commando. Yes. And she has more stations than I do. But we're catching up. What, darling?
I think I found the app I posted in the... I just wanted you to verify it.
What's the name of it?
It was Room Design.
Probably. There's quite a few. Let me look at it. The one I used wasn't perfect. Yeah, this looks very similar. Oh, this is better. No, this is better. This has 3D rendering and everything.
It looks like you improved it because at the very last screenshot, it looks like what you used.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah, that
part. Oh, that looks just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's the same one. They just improved it. How much is it? $8. This is nice.
But it looks really good.
But see, then I read the reviews. I don't know what the one I don't think this is the one I used. I looked at a bunch of them, and I picked the one that had the best review. Go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. And give me a review. If you like it, we'll use your review on the iPad Today show. I wonder if this is the one. Layouts? Mine did not have any 3D rendering capability. It was just a top-down, basic... Yeah, see, this is cool, too. These are all look good. The question is, do you want the 3D fly-through or not? This one looks pretty good. This one looks really good. It's only $4.99. It's called Interior Plant. Let's see what the reviews on this are. Yeah, there are no reviews. That's weird. They just came out, I guess. This looks pretty good. They have not received enough ratings, so it's pretty new. Has anybody used this? This one looks pretty good. It doesn't have the 3D fly-through, but that's where you get bugs. What's nice is it looks like you can find images of the furniture. What you want is one that ties to, like, restoration hardware and IKEA and stuff, so that you can say, well, if I get this bed at IKEA, how does that fit?
Yeah, we're gonna be going to IKEA.
That's what you really want. I don't know if this does that, but that would be awesome. That's what you really want. Kim Commando says branded cocoa powder? She sells everything else. Let's see. Is there brand? First of all, figure out what the hell's going on here. Oh, there's Kim. She popped in. Wow. She's got many of our same sponsors. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for everything. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, she's nothing. There's nothing fruit free on this site. She's the digital goddess. So this was actually, I gave this as an example to our designers of what I didn't want. Yeah, most radio station websites are really cluttered, and it's hard not to be cluttered because you want to show everything, right? But this is really cluttered. The other thing is, in order to find out what station she's on, you have to give her your email address. You have to basically, they're harvesting. So why, you know, this doesn't make sense to me that if you wanted to listen, okay, let's see. Station locator. That's what I'm clicking. Find Kim. Station locator. Okay, yeah. How would I do that? Find a station. Choose a state. Okay, good. There we go. Oh, good. So now, you know what? She changed that. It used to be you had to... So in San Francisco... Oh, yeah. They still do. You have to enter your email address. Stupid.
All right, Leo, DSL Extreme Billboard here.
Thank you, ma'am. I said man, not ma'am. You might have thought I said thank you, ma'am. Back to the phones we go. Jim is in North Dakota. Leo Laporte, hi, Jim.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I
just love your show. Been watching you since the Screensavers and Tech TV.
Thank you. Nice to have you aboard.
And I say hi to your guests in your office there. I'm watching on the drop cam.
Art and Shell, they're here. Yeah, visiting. We have, and I should tell you this. We have an open studio policy. It only costs $48.53. No, it's free. If you're in the Northern California area, the Tech Guy Labs studios are in Petaluma, and you're welcome to visit.
Bring a bottle.
Come on by.
Just bring a bottle with.
Bring a bottle. People do that, but it's not a requirement.
Well, I'm a ham, too.
Well, you got to come up because we have a great ham radio station here.
Oh, I seen it get built.
All ICOM gear except for that great Collins 1962 AM radio transmitter, which the amazing Mike Duro has reconfigured for transmitting on the 75-meter band. It's just and reconditioned it. It's a work of art. It's like a classic car, only it's an AM radio transmitter. It's so cool. So do come by anytime. What's your call sign, Jim?
Kilo Zero, Japan, India, Mexico, K0JIM. I spoke with you, one of the first hams on your remote site on episode 18.
K0, Jim, I remember talking to you very well. You were one of my very first QSLs, right? Is that how you say it?
Yep, QSO.
QSOs. It's so great to talk to you.
And my ham site is, I got one with GoDaddy.
Okay.
And it's K0JIM.com.
I have W6TWT.com, but I don't do anything with it. Because you know what? I'm a bad ham, Jim. I don't ever use all this gear. I finally brought my Kenwood Handy Talkie home, and I'm going to spend some time doing that. It does APRS. I'm going to spend some time playing with that. My problem is I'm on the radio kind of like 40 or 50 hours a week. I don't really have much urge to get back on the air when I go home.
I know what it's like. I was a technology coordinator and director at the Jamestown Public Schools, and I retired about 3 years ago. So I know what it's like. Come home and play with computers. It's not that
fun. Yeah, no, I want to go home and go and just veg out. But you know what? When I retire, I can guarantee you all this ICOM gear is going to get fired up. I'm going to move out to the country where there's no RF interference, and I'm going to fire it up.
There you go.
Anyway, it's great to talk to you, Jim. What can I do for you today?
Well, I've got a Nexus 7. I just got it, and I just love it. And I was wondering how to get my Audible files on there, too, and I was watching your show, and Dr. Mom mentioned that. But actually, all I did is I just went to the Play Store, downloaded the Android app.
There you go.
On it, and when I opened it up, I logged in, and there was all my stuff right in the library.
One of the things I love about Audible, and I should mention Audible is a sponsor of many of our podcasts. So, just a disclaimer there. But the Audible app, and it's available on both Android and on iOS. It's also available on Windows Phone and BlackBerry. One of the great things about it is it has your whole library of books. And, I've been an Audible. Audible is an audio bookstore. I've been an Audible subscriber because I love listening. Maybe because I'm on the radio. I don't want to talk when I get home, but I don't mind listening when I get home. I've been an Audible member for 10 years. So there's 500 plus books in my library, and I can go back and listen to any books that I haven't gotten to yet. And when I buy new books, they show up in the library automatically. And you're exactly right, Jim. You don't have to transfer them over from another device. It just downloads them. Now, there is a limit. You can only have, I think, 5 devices. But that's, for most people, that's more than enough. So you just download them. And I would do it on Wi-Fi so it doesn't use up precious 3G bandwidth. But, this is a great solution. Now, Dr. Mom, so here I can give you some solutions. If you had all those files and you didn't want to spend time downloading them, you could get them onto your device. The problem with the Nexus 7, which is a fabulous new tablet from Google, is A, it doesn't have a lot of storage, only 16 or 32 gigs, and B, it doesn't have an SD card slot. But I think you could mount it. I haven't tried this, but you could be able to mount this up, get a file system by mounting it on a USB onto a computer, and then copy it over that way. You could also use something like Dropbox, a free service for, I think, 5 gigabytes. Maybe it's 10 now. You could just put it in your Dropbox and copy it over that way. But I think I wouldn't fill up your... I would actually be careful about filling up your storage with a lot of books. Just the book you're listening to right now.
Yep. I've got the 16, but it's an 8 and a 16 gig. They don't have it.
Okay, 30. Thank you for correcting me. 8 and 16. I couldn't remember. It's 8 and 16 seems so small, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But I think what Google's saying with that and the fact that there's no additional storage is, look, you don't want to store content on here. You just stream it from the Play Store or Google Music. And one of the things Google Music does that's nice is when you listen to something, it caches it. So, anything that you've recently listened to is available even when you're offline. But it does kind of limit its usefulness for instance, going on a plane trip because you can't load it with content.
Yeah, well, take a look at my website, K0JIN.
I've seen it, Jim. I remember it very well. You have a great site.
And I'm still waiting for my QSL card.
I know. I got a stack. I'm so sorry.
January, you said that's the first thing on my list.
It is. It's, if you look at my to-do list, it's still on there. I just haven't gotten around. I want to get a good picture and so forth. I owe you a QSL card. I do. 7-3, Jim.
Episode 18.
Yeah, I know. I told you, I'm a bad ham, Jim. I admit it. I'm like that Christmas ham that you got, and here it is in July or August now, and that Christmas ham is not so good anymore. I'm a bad ham. 7-3, Jim, great to talk to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Mark in Australia. He's in Melbourne. Hey, Mark, Leo Laporte here.
G'day, Leo. How you doing, Mark?
G'day, Mark. It's great to hear from you.
Ripper, I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I could catch you.
Oh, man.
I've got a problem.
Okay.
I've got a problem. It's in the App Store. And what I did was I bought Mountain Lion using my Mac Pro. Uh-huh. But then when I went to download it, I get this error message says, "We could not complete your purchase. The product distribution file could not be verified. It may be damaged or was not signed."
What?
So I picked up my 17-inch MacBook and went back in, and I downloaded it fine onto the MacBook, but I can't get this thing to work on my tower.
So here's the trick. There is an installer in that download. The way Apple's doing its operating system upgrades now, with Lion, a couple of weeks after it came out, you could go to the Apple Store and for $70 buy a USB card, a key. I don't think they're going to do it this time. So stay tuned, Mark, and in a second, after this break, I will explain the trick to getting an installer on a Lion, Mountain Lion. whether you're running a business, working from home. Have I talked about ShareFile? Yeah, I should talk about ShareFile. Big fan. Big fan. Bigger all the time. ShareFile. Have you heard of that? So I'm not going to say the other company's name. And in fact, there are really many other companies that the idea is you could use them. So what people, okay, in business nowadays, there's a lot of times when you want to share a file. You want to send a, you know, we send contracts out, for instance, as PDFs or drawings. You know, when we got the drawings for the studio, it was a huge file. It was like several gigabytes. There's lots of pictures. There's all sorts of things. Now, you've heard me say before, don't send attachments. And I still stand by that. But more than one reason, the original reason was because email attachments were a great way of spreading viruses. But there's more than that, really. It's not a secure way to share files. So if you're like Dr. Mom, if you're sharing, you know, confidential records, you can't use email. It's not HIPAA compliant. So there's a confidentiality issue. If they're big files, if it's 4 gigabytes, as our studio designs were, you can't send that via email. It'll bounce. So I was using some some kind of consumer grade stuff for a long time, and then I found ShareFile, and this is a really great way to do it. Very business focused. First of all, your ShareFile page is branded, so you can see this is my ShareFile page. So it's got the Twit logo and everything. Let's say I want to share a file with you. You can do it in email. In fact, they have an Outlook plugin that makes it very easy. But let's say I want to share you can see I use this all the time. Share this commercial with you. So I'll click the send button. And now I'll zoom in here so you can see. So I've got two choices. I could send an email using ShareFile, and I can do the to address and the subject, the message, just like a regular email. This is what I usually do. Give me a link. Now, here's some nice features. Email me when the item's been downloaded. I always have that checked. You can require recipients to enter name and email before downloading if you want to track who's getting it. I don't usually care about that, but you could. You also have all these access features. You can have the download expire after a period of time. I usually say never. That's kind of my default. You could say how many times they can download it. There are all sorts of reasons you might want to control that. Sometimes government regulation requires that. And then you say send file. Now what I get is a link. Now, unlike a lot of these other services, this link, I'll copy it to the clipboard, does not require anybody to have an account. It's just a generic good link. This is what they get when they click that link in their email. They get a branded site. They get a link to the file. They don't have to sign in. They don't have to sign up. It's very clean, and it works so well. This is how I share all of the I do recordings for the radio stations on our network. You know, hi, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, blah, blah, blah. This is how I do it. Everybody loves this now. This is the way to do it. ShareFile.com. Now, if you want to try it, they've got a 30-day free trial, as all our clients do. We'd love to have our advertisers do that for you. Go to ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and the promo code is TechGuy. And, you know, I know this is a long link. It's funny, every time I do this ad and I put this on the screen, somebody copies it. But you go ahead and you can do that. That's fine. And download. All you'll get is an ad. Probably won't even be a ShareFile ad. I don't even know what I clicked. But this is how I do it, and it really works well. It really works well. ShareFile.com. Try it today. Use the offer code TechGuy for 30 days free. It's great for a physician, for a business. When you sign up, they'll actually ask you your business because they have branded business pages to make it look really sweet. But you can have your own logo and everything. Cost varies, Sophia. If you go to ShareFile.com, you'll see all the different pricing. It really varies on how much you want to use it. You know, they have for some big companies, you know, they'll get a bigger plan than others. It's from Citrix, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. But they have a very clear pricing page. You can see the thing. And it's for a business. I don't think an individual will probably do this, but for a business, it's fantastic. ShareFile.com.
Sorry, Leo. Carbonite Library here.
Got it. Thank you. I play within my head. Touch my own skin and hope they'll still be there. You know, I don't know if all of these recording stars realize that everything they do is so high tech nowadays. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We were talking to Mark in Melbourne. I love it that we get callers from all over the world. I just love that. Thanks to the internet, you can hear this show anywhere. So Mark had a problem that is not uncommon, I think, with Mountain Lion. First of all, you've got to make sure you're compatible with this upgrade, and not all Macs are. In fact, this is a fairly restrictive upgrade. You have to have a Mac in the last few years. But if Mark, if you've verified that your Mac should work with it, what I would suggest is you download, and it's kind of, this is a tricksy thing to do, but go to the App Store and, you know, once you've purchased Mountain Lion, which you have, and it should be, as long as you're on the same account, you shouldn't have to pay again, download it. Now, it's a large download, and you'll have to enter in your Apple ID and all that stuff. It's a large download. Let me just do mine here. It's, you know, I think almost 4.5 or 5 gigabytes. But once you've got it, now before, it'll immediately after the download, it'll go to install and stop. You don't have to press cancel, but don't install it. Because unfortunately, this is a bad, I think it's a bad feature, but I understand why they do it, to save you space. After the install of Mountain Lion is complete on that machine, it erases the installer. It's gone. So at that point, you can still do this, but it's a little more tricky. The install of Mountain Lion does create a partition, a rescue partition. So you do have an installer on there, but it's a little tricky to get it off of that. Best way to do it, download, it's 4.32 gigabytes. Thank you, Rick. Best thing to do is download it. You'll get a file called Installed Mountain Lion. Pause. You don't even have to cancel. Just pause. And now, control click or right click on that Install Mountain Lion file and examine the package contents. That file is actually not a file. It's a folder with a lot of stuff in it. In there, in that folder, you'll find, I think it's a resources folder. Pretty sure that's the name of the folder. And inside that folder, you'll find the file you want, which is installesd.dmg. Installesd.dmg. That is actually the Mountain Lion installer. Everything you need is in that one file. All the rest of it is support stuff that you don't need. So once you get installDMG, you can put that on a USB key or CD. Well, actually, I guess not a CD. It'd have to be a DVD. You can put it on anything and install, and then carry it over to your Mac Pro and install by double-clicking that install ESD.dmg. It will open a disk image and run the installer, and you can continue on. It is possible to make it bootable. There's some Apple scripts out there to make it bootable. I don't think making it bootable is all that necessary. I guess for a rescue situation, it would be nice. There's a program called Lion Disk Maker that's free. It's just an Apple script. You could, if you knew what it was doing, it'd be easy enough to do this by hand even. Lion Disk Maker will make it easy to make it installable, or rather a bootable USB key. But again, the installer will always work, whether you don't need to boot from it. Now, carry that over to the Mac Pro and try there. You could also copy the installer to the USB key. I just think it's more straightforward just to have the install ESD.dmg. And so I actually carry around a USB key with the installer on it, because I don't want to have to download 4.33 gigabytes multiple times. And so if you have multiple Macs, this is really the best way. I wish Apple made it easier to do this, actually. It would be a nice thing, because they're wasting bandwidth, their own and the world's, by making people multiple times download such a massive file. So try that, Mark, and see if that works. Does that all make sense to you?
Yeah, that's fine, mate. I've got a background in tech and computers, so that'll do. I've got one other quick question.
The one key, and I'm just going to reiterate this, is to do it before you run the installer on the laptop, because it'll erase the install file. So copy it. Make a copy of it right away.
Yeah, I got that part.
That's
one other thing. I'm a videographer, and I do a lot of work, and I'm looking for a second camera. What ones do you use that are maybe in the $600 to $800 range?
The ones we use in our studio, the one, if you watch our video stream right now, these are Canon Vixia camcorders. They're consumer grade camcorders. They're not that cheap. They're $1,500, although they may have fallen in price since we bought them. But they're good consumer-grade HD camcorders. We get great results. But like most digital camcorders now, these do best when there's lots of light. And since we're using them in a lockdown situation in a studio where we control the light and we put a lot of light out, they work great. I'm not sure how well they'd work in the field. A lot of people now are starting to use DSLRs, the Canon T3i, for instance, which is about $600 or $700. Digital SLR camera has a great video mode. The one thing they aren't good for, and the reason we don't use them, is continuous live shooting. You have to shoot in, you know, a little 30-minute or less chunks.
I do a lot of green screen interviews with clients and stuff like that, so I want a second and third camera.
Right.
So I've got three shots and I can intercut them.
Great idea. Yeah, because you can't pan on green screen because it's very weird looking if you do that.
Very weird.
Yeah, so having multiple cameras for the interviews is a really good idea. When we've done in the past, and I know I did the Dig dialogue for Revision 3 a year and a half ago. The way they were shooting it, which I thought was really interesting, they had multiple DSLRs. So they'd have one camcorder. I don't know if they're using a Sony EX1 or something, but then they'd have other DSLRs around, and they'd start everything at once, and then that way they'd have some isolated shots that they could cut to. The problem is color balancing. If you're a videographer, you understand every camera has its own kind of color profile. And so if you mix manufacturers, especially, you have Sony plus Canon plus Nikon, it takes a lot of effort afterwards to match the colors up.
Right.
So my suggestion would be get some. What's your main camera?
Canon XL S and an HD Canon.
Yeah, so I would stay with Canon. They'll be a lot easier to color match.
Right.
Yeah. These Vixias are great. You can get a lower-end Vixia. I've been very happy with these. And we, by the way, they're on 24/7. We have they have HDMI out, direct out, and so what we do is we bought a Blackmagic HDMI converter, converts it into a format called Serial Digital Interface, or SDI. We connect the coax to that. We can run it all over the building, and it's really great. We have 30 of these Vixias, and to my knowledge, not one has failed in a year of nonstop use. That's a pretty good recommendation. Excellent. Yeah. Hey, Mark, great to have you listening in Melbourne. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Take care. I'm going to be down under in November. I gotta go early so we can have a meetup in Sydney and Brisbane, not Melbourne, unfortunately. But I want to have a meetup down there. It'd be really fun to do that. That's November 7th in Sydney, November 9th in Brisbane. I'll figure out a way to do that. James in Albuquerque, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, James.
Hi, Leo. First of all, I'd like to thank you. I sent you an email a couple months ago, and you got back to me in less than a week with an answer.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to get back to you in about 10 minutes with an answer because we've got to take a break for your local news. Stay here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Actually, Lion did not have a DVD version, but they did offer a USB version. They say they're not offering a USB version for Mountain Lion. That is a turkey feather. You may ask, why do I have a turkey feather? The turkey's right here, baby. Right in front of you. Huh? Yeah, you saw that with my mustache, my turkey mustache? Anybody basically wanders in. That's the rule here. Oh, that's neat.
Up to 50%, right? That's a good deal for Mother Nature, too.
What are you waving at? Trees. I gotta say, we are the champions, my friend.
So put your small.
I'm waving here.
Waving something.
No, we're on the big camera.
No, I know. I mean, they're just waving.
They're waving because they're on the air.
I don't know, but it's crazy.
Come on, stand back here.
Hang on.
We gotta be on the big. We gotta get your friends to see this one.
Yeah. Oi.
Oi.
Here now.
Oi.
Oh, he's messaging me.
Oi, says Shell. Oi. Art, were you ever a Shriner?
No. My dad was for a million years.
There you go. Come on in. Yeah.
3, 2, and once more.
How are you?
I have broccoli in my teeth. No, I don't think she wants a picture of the carpet.
Thank you, Leo.
All right.
Thank you, Leo. Thanks, this is fun.
I know. Is it fun sitting on the ball?
Don't you have a mug I can take home?
No.
Oh, I wish we did. Okay. We gotta make some.
I think we have some on the store.
Do we? We have mugs on the store?
Pretty sure we have mugs.
Twit.spreadshirt.com.
Okay, now
everybody needs up all your film.
Film, yeah, right.
Did you do
the
FaceTime one?
Ozzy the cutie Aussie. You are loud and large as life. What are they hearing?
They're not hearing him bark.
He's talking about me.
He's hearing you. Well, the mics are on. The mics are on. They're hearing you.
On the radio?
No, only on the... he's watching the stream.
Oh, he's watching the stream. Hello, Jason. Can you hear me, Jason?
I was very afraid.
I'm afraid. I don't know. Hello, millions of people.
Unfortunately, it's only thousands on the show.
I know. That was so funny. I told
Which Art, Michelle, and Kyle, and Gina.
Just a few people.
Just me, and Art, and Michelle, and Kyle, and Gina in the chat room.
Like that one guy in the chat room.
And one guy in the chat room.
Are you jealous?
He would love to be here. He's in a wheelchair.
Oh. Well, we're accessible if he wants to come. Bring him up.
He wants to come out here so bad.
We're totally wheelchair accessible. You can come in.
Oh, he's
not around here.
Crew.
Oh, okay.
England.
Oh, he's in England. Oh.
Yeah, I went to visit.
Well, that's a bit of a distance.
It's a little far. Yeah. It's live streaming, but we're not on the air. Tell Leo we love his show.
He's a
Say hello, Jason. We love you, too.
Hello, Jason. We love you, too, Michael.
Yeah, the people who are here... really great. So we're very, very fortunate. We have a great staff.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Network.
You know, I have a great personality until I turn on them. And now I have a very mean personality. I can be mean. I know. I know it. Boy, I love these Marcona almonds. That's what I'm hoping. I exercise it like crazy. Yeah, and I play chess in my spare time, and I'm always trying new things, and programming languages. And I even try to do art because I want to do, like photography, because I want to exercise the right brain a little bit as well as the left brain. You know, I'm always trying to, because I would hate to lose my marbles. One second. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones. Home theater, digital photography, anything on your mind. If it's got a chip in it, that's what we do here. 888-ASK-LEO is the number. 888-827-5536. I tell you, we got a brand new website. If you haven't gone to take a look at it, so far it hasn't broken. That's a good sign. We're a little worried because this is the first time it's been, we put it up on the air on Wednesday. But, you know, most of the time people don't hit this site until the show's on the air, until the weekend. So we were hoping it would all work even after a million people go to visit. And so far, so good. So you'll see on the new site, there's episode guide. We've got tech news. We've got topics on the front page, a question of the week, the tip of the week. We've got easy search. And that really, to me, was the most important thing, was the ability to go to this site. Say, I heard Leo talk about how to make a boot disc for Lion or Mountain Lion. How do you do that? And to be able to go there and search. And even better, and this will start to materialize over time. It's not going to happen right away. But even better, when you go to see the answer to a question, you'll see more than just my answer. Wow, look at that. This is from today's show. Paul in Essex, saving app data on Android phone. You'll be able to add your comment if you've got a better idea. So we had a lot of people wanted to contribute to that, saying, could you add, how could I add data? How could I move over data on my app Android phone? Oh, there's a little bug. That went away. So I think we're going to see a few little glitches here and there. I need to get some better pictures of me on the front page. I've got my eyes closed. Although that's probably accurate because I frequently do the radio show with my eyes closed. Who needs, you don't need your eyes open when you're doing a radio show. It's a radio show, right? Paul is on the line from, well, now wait a minute. No, hold on there, Paul. I'll be with you in just a second. But first, James in Albuquerque. I forgot. I put him on hold right at the beginning of the hour.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, James. Thank you for hanging on. What can I do for you?
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and then you can tell me whether you think it's a good idea or you can recommend something better.
Okie dokie.
An old Dell Optiplex desktop with 37 gigabytes of memory, Windows XP operating system. Not much to brag about. So I'm thinking of getting a new computer.
Good.
But I hate to throw anything away that still works.
I completely agree. And this is one of the kind of the shames of the digital industry is these things work fine for decades, but they're obsolete in years.
Well, they work. Some parts of them do, and that's really the whole point of my decision here. I'm talking about the CD, DVD drive.
Yeah.
That's always, the last computer I had, that was the first thing that went.
Sure, moving parts are the first thing that go. Yeah.
So I'm scared about losing the CD, DVD drive on this one before it goes.
Right.
So here's what I was going to do. I was going to strip down all the programs off of it and just leave enough that would allow me to read my PDF text files, my music, and maybe if I have enough room, my photos, and then upload all that stuff to the Dell before the CD drive goes out, so that I have, at least I have it in a processor where I can get a hold of it without having to upload a disk.
And this won't be your main computer when you get a new one. This will just be more like an archive.
This will be an archive. It won't even be hooked up to the internet.
Yeah, that seems fine. I have a... the truth is, you're going to have all that stuff on your MIG computer, so I wonder how often you're going to go back and look at it.
Well, a lot of it is books.
So you may not... So having an online archive may be a handy thing to have. Yeah, I don't see anything... I don't see... There's certainly nothing wrong with that. What you might consider doing, I mean, I could see, I think of some things that you might consider doing. For instance, turning that Optiplex into what we call network attached storage. So you could put an operating system on there designed, usually it's Linux because those are free and it's very rock solid. It can run years without problems, unlike XP, which you'll have to continually well, I guess it's not on the internet. You don't care about security, but I think Linux is a little more reliable. You put that on there and you put it on your network. It doesn't need a keyboard, doesn't need a mouse, doesn't need a monitor. It just sits on the network and you access it from other computers. That becomes now an archive, a central archive. You maybe put some more storage in there, some extra hard drives, where you can keep all that stuff and have it accessible from any computer on your home network anytime. How about that?
Okay.
That might be a kind of a nice intermediate use for it, but that's maybe more than you want to do. What's your idea is fine. I'm just saying you could, with a little extra effort, do exactly the same thing you're talking about, but make it accessible to all the computers as a network-shared computer.
Okay. Well, no, I wasn't interested in the network.
Okay. Then I wouldn't worry about it. Yes, I like your idea.
Okay. Now, the thing is, with 37 gigabytes, which is nothing, the only programs that really really are big in my system are like 100 megabytes, which isn't too big.
Right. You don't have a huge amount of storage. You're not going to put movies on there.
The old Adobe Reader is 115.
Right.
Java 6 update is 91. And the Microsoft frameworks, NET frameworks, service packs are like 100, 200. Can I remove any of them without...
Java you don't need if you're trying to save space.
Okay.
You don't need Reader if you have another way to read PDFs. That's the only way you can read PDFs normally on XP.
A free PDF.
Oh, all right. If you're using a free reader, then that's fine. Take Adobe off. Yeah, I don't install any programs that you don't use. .NET you may or may not need. .NET is a programming framework that some programs but not all require. So that's hard to predict. It just depends what programs you've got on there. You know, the safest, easiest thing to do would be remove it. Until some program complains. Programs that require .NET almost always say, hey, you need .NET, shall I download it? And then you can say, all right, go ahead and get it.
Okay, now I read that you were talking about Ubuntu.
Well, Linux, I was talking about Linux. In fact, we did a know-how segment. If you've not watched our show Know-How, it's all about this kind of thing, how to do something. 2 weeks ago, we did a show on how to turn a computer like that into a media server so you could use it to show movies, TV shows, things like that. This current know-how, which you could find at twit.tv/kh, twit.tv/kh. The most recent one was how to take an old computer, much like this Dell, and turn it into a Linux-based computer, which should be a little more reliable, a little bit more up-to-date. I think we should do another one that mixes the two together using something like this. This is called FreeNAS at freenas.org. It's not Linux. It's BSD, which is a true Unix operating system. You put this on a hard drive, and now this becomes a network-attached storage unit, a central network server. There's another wonderful Linux that a lot of people like to use. Ubuntu is very well-known and a very good one. But Linux Mint is very popular. In fact, this is the number one now most popular Linux distribution. Linux is a free Unix-like operating system. And Linux Mint is free. You can download it. It will run fine on that XP machine. It doesn't occupy as much space as Windows, and it will do all the things you just described. It's very Windows-like, I think. It's very Windows-like. I don't think you're going to lose any functionality, any capability. It all depends, James, how much work you want to put into this. It sounds like you're a hobbyist. Sounds like you want to hack around with it a little bit. You'll have a lot of fun. I think do what you had said you wanted to do. It's a great start. And if you decide you want something a little more, then I would look at Linux. I'm a big fan. Paul in Castaic, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Leo, longtime listener. Enjoy your programs. Listen to just about all of them, actually.
Well, then you probably know I'm very long-winded, and I keep doing this. I have now run out of time in this segment, but don't go away. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What's the secret to timing? If you're in the professional support business,
well, you can get IT it. It's all online. I don't have to email it to you. Everything is a podcast after the fact.
That's great. You know, I mean, the ability to fix it.
Everything's
from
part
afar.
Of the podcast.
But you also
your
probably
big mouth will be on the podcast for the rest of your life.
Remote monitoring. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find one
unless
tool
they
that
somehow
it all,
cut it out? But I've been telling them not to cut anything out if there's something going on
before they happen. That's the new Go to Assist from Citrix. Have you tried this? The brand new Go to Assist, even if you've tried it before, you've got to try it again. They've added monitoring.
Remember, Live TV, it's all I do.
Use customizable dashboard that tells you exactly
what hardware and software is running. I fell in love with Live TV when we were doing Tech TV.
On your client networks.
Oh, that was Live.
Lets you know when something is about to go wrong before it goes wrong, so you can swoop in.
I far prefer Live. Far prefer it.
One easy platform from
here, let me show you. This was a fun one.
You've got to try this. Even if you've tried it before, you got to try the new
Go-to-Assist. Boy, I'm making a mess of this shirt.
Go-to-Assist.com, click the try it free button.
I'm such a slob.
You visit Go-to-Assist.com, use the promo.
That's why I should not be on Live TV. I need a bib.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. We're talking tech, talking Linux. Talking with Paul in Castaic, California. Hey, Paul, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo.
Thanks for hanging on. I'm sorry I did that to you.
Yeah, no problem at all.
All right.
Long-time listener. Listen to virtually all of your programs.
Wow. That's a lot. I make them all, and I know how long it takes to make them. I can't imagine what it would take to listen to them.
very informative.
Good. Thank you.
I'm Gordo.
Go, you're a ham.
Going to study for my test.
Good.
I plan on doing all three of them at one time.
You know, so we're talking about getting the amateur radio license. They colloquially called the ham license. And, of course, the FCC licenses you, but it's other hams that give you the test, and they're all over the country. The three levels are technician, general, and extra. Technician is so easy that you could probably study for it a day and get it. And that gets you a lot of the way towards being a ham. You can transmit on many of the ham frequencies. You can go out and get a handy-talky FM radio, and you're good to go. The general license is a little bit harder than that, but you're going all the way. You're going to take all three at once, huh?
Yep.
Good man. And you're using Gordo's materials to study.
Correct.
Yeah, Gordo's got the best materials. Absolutely, highly recommend. That's how I learned.
Ham Nation is fantastic.
And that's our podcast about ham radio. Gordo is Gordon West, and if you want to get his materials, I should give him a plug. It's one thing to say, you know, he has Gordon West Radio School, but you can also find all the materials at w5yi.org. w5yi.org.
There's a program I have. It's a VOIP program called HamSphere.
Huh.
And it lets ham operators, licensed ham operators, and non-licensed use this VOIP to contact people all over
the world.
Quite interesting. So that really got the bug going. And that helps with your,
nerves.
With people around the world and
it's,
the nerve.
It's you know, you wouldn't think it, but it's actually, even for me, and I've been on the radio more than 35 years, that when I first did that first ham connection.
I was listening to you.
I was terrified. You were. I was so scared.
But there's a program on there for DXing, and that's been a lot of fun. I'm up to like 119 countries.
Wow. And this is all without the license.
Yeah, without the license.
That's neat.
Like 211 countries, so that's a lot of fun.
It is. But, it's a great hobby. I highly recommend it.
Back to the question.
Yes, sir.
I have a 24-inch iMac. I have an Apple TV and an iMac that I run my Wi-Fi through my iMac through DSL Extreme is my router that they send. I'm looking to get a 13-inch Air or a 15 MacBook Pro.
Okay.
Just haven't made up my mind yet. So, question is, I noticed when I downloaded Mountain Lion and set it up and did all of that when it was uploading to Carbonite, another...
I owe you a thanks. Obviously, that's great.
but I noticed I was having some streaming glitches on that when it was uploading to Carbonite. So the question is, I probably have to get another router. It just can't... I don't think the iMac...
So you're saying... So let me understand what's happening here. So you've got DSL Extreme. Do you have a Wi-Fi router?
No. I just use the Wi-Fi off of my iMac.
So you're creating what they call an ad hoc Wi-Fi network. So the iMac is connected to the DSL Extreme modem via Ethernet, and then you're using connection sharing, in effect, to let the other computers get online.
Correct. The Apple TV works really good. But
I don't know of a lot of overhead doing that.
I noticed when it was doing the up on my... When my iMac is doing some other work...
Oh, it slows down?
...doing the upload to Carbonite, I noticed some streaming problems.
Well, so, now that's related more to... And, you know, Carbonite is very smart. It will be as nice as it can be, but because it's not... It's probably not seeing everything that's going on because of the way you're doing it. And also, the DSL Extreme connection you have probably isn't super fast upstream, I'm thinking. DSL 10.
Well, I upgraded that to the next one up.
You did, yeah, because the base model, the 1495, is not very fast. It'd be fine for one thing at a time, but to do Carbonite and watch TV is a lot.
Correct, and I noticed some streaming problems with that, so I upgraded to the next one. But what's your recommendations on a... I think I'm going to have to go to a, like the...
I would get an Airport Extreme. It's expensive. It's almost $200.
Yeah, $179.
But they really are the best routers out there. They really are. I've tried them all.
Okay, well, that was my question. What would you recommend? And
well, since you're all Mac, it's kind of, it is more expensive. I have a variety of routers I could choose from. Lynx has sent me one of their routers to try. I haven't even opened the box. It's funny, when the cable guy came to install the cable modem, he saw I had two shrink-wrapped in the boxes routers. I had an Airport Extreme and a Linksys E, I think it was 4500. And he said, "You're not going to use that Linksys, are you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, the airport's so much better." And I said, "Well, yeah, that was what I was planning on using." My experience, especially in situations where, for instance, crowded bandwidth, it's challenging. The Airport Extreme does really, really well. You kind of get what you pay for. It's also secure, and there's another. That's a big issue right now because a lot of consumer routers have this new feature called WPS that's supposed to make it easy to set up. Linksys in particular has configured this so badly, you can't disable it. And so a great number of Linksys routers are inherently insecure and cannot be fixed to be made not insecure, which is a terrible thing. So I just can't recommend them. I would,
okay.
Yeah, I would get it. I know it's more expensive, but you're going to get better results. You still may not have enough bandwidth to back up. You know, the problem is if you're trying to do more than one thing on a slower connection, it's going to be hard to watch TV. That's demanding. You can saturate the connection, even though, you know, Carbonite's going one way and Netflix is going another way. You can saturate the connection.
Well, I could see that when it was uploading Mountain Lion.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of upload, but if you put some other little program on and it just does packet at a slow packet upload.
Happening is, in order for downloads to be I don't want to get too complicated, but in order for downloads to work, every time you download a packet, the receiver has to acknowledge it with an upload. And if your upload stream is saturated, now Carbonite's not is supposed to not do that. It's supposed to be very cautious and not saturate your connection for this reason. But if you have other things going on, or if Carbonite can't see because of the ad hoc Wi-Fi, maybe that's confusing it. Then if it saturates the upstream, your downloads start failing because the ACK packet isn't being uploaded. I know that's a little complicated, but that's what's going on. I think you would be better off. I know it's expensive, but I think that Airport Extreme is the best router on the market, at least consumer router. I think it's really good. Thanks for the call. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
The Black Keys live last night on YouTube.
Wow.
They're doing it all weekend, streaming live from Lollapalooza. All right, Leo, you've got a Carbonite billboard here.
Got it. We're at Lollapalooza with the Black Keys. What a world we live in. You could watch this performance live on YouTube last night. I guess there's more coming up all week. The Lollapalooza Festival on YouTube. Barbara, Little Rock, Arkansas. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was calling for your suggestion for a better camera for concerts.
Ah, that's challenging.
We attend a lot of concerts, and the camera that we use now is, there's a lot of noise interference, sound interference.
Right. Oh, you want to tape video?
Yeah.
So do you want stills and video?
Yeah.
Okay. This is challenging because although it may appear it's very bright, in fact, concerts are kind of not, they're contrasty. There are some very bright spots and there's some dark spots even on the stage. And it's difficult for a camera to capture it. As you probably noticed, you probably see a lot of grain. If you attempt to use a flash at a concert, all you're going to do is get a nice bright picture of the guy's head in front of you. Yeah. So flash is out. You can't use flash at a concert. And you're probably somewhat far away. Even if you have front row seats, you're still 30 or 40 feet away from the stage. And if you don't have front row seats, you could be even farther away.
Right.
What are these big concerts or are they little jazz concerts? What kind of concerts?
They're a little bit of both, like in clubs and in, you know, big.
Right. If it's a club and you can set up a tripod, it's easier.
Okay.
Because what you're going to want is a camera that has a telephoto lens, so you can zoom in from a distance. But the problem with telephoto, it's very hard to hold still, so it's not a jiggly shot. And you've already probably seen the video that you take is often very jiggly, especially if people are jostling you.
Yeah.
So if you're lucky and you can set up a tripod, which is probably very seldom the case, that's the way to go. And a nice, you know, even a point-and-shoot has enough zoom to do it. The problem with point-and-shoot cameras, compact cameras, is they aren't good in low-light situations.
Right.
And that's tied to the size of the chip. You know, instead of film in these digital cameras, we have a little computer chip that is light-sensitive and takes the light coming in through the lens and turns it into ones and zeros, into bits. That's the digitizer. So that digitizing chip, the bigger it is, if you think about it, the more light it can take in, and so the better it can work in a low-light situation. That's why when people are doing concert photography or concert videography, often they'll use what's called a digital SLR or DSLR camera. That means a camera with interchangeable lenses and a nice big chip.
Okay.
So, and the nice thing about the interchangeable lenses is you can get a nice zoom. You can get a fast zoom. So I would, do you have a budget?
A little bit, yeah.
Like what is it?
Well, we don't want to get something that's going to, you know, put us into hock.
I don't blame you. Well, and I'll add that one more feature. Audio is probably important, right?
Yeah.
So what you want also is a camera that has... Well, you can use the built-in mic, but as you're noticing, there's a lot of noise.
Yes.
There's you when you if you say anything or you cheer. There's your fingers, your hands. There's sometimes the motor in the camera. When you zoom, you can hear, that's no good. So what you'd ideally like is a camera that has a microphone connection so you could put an external mic on top of the camera. So the camera I'm going to recommend, which would be fantastic for this, but it might be out of your price range, I don't know, is a Nikon D3200. This is the new, for me, the new entry level camera. Now it's $700. Is that out of your price range?
A little bit, but that couldn't be arranged.
And I'll tell you what you're getting with this. First of all, an amazing camera. This is a incredible deal. The 3200 is one of Nikon. It's their entry level camera, but it's one of their best. Incredible image quality. Big sensor. It's not a full-frame sensor, but it's APS-C, which is a very nice size. It has interchangeable lenses, so you could get a longer lens. And most important from your point of view, it has a microphone jack, so you could get a little mic. There are a number of companies. Rode makes one, the stereo mic, that go on the flash shoe and then connect to the mic, and they're much better microphones. You'll get a concert sound that is really much, much better, like the bootleggers. So it's a 24-megapixel camera, which is amazing. It is lightweight, which is great. It will work with a tripod. It comes with a pretty good zoom, 18 to 55. But if you know that the main thing you want to do is shoot concerts, you might want to, instead of getting the kit, which comes with a zoom, is just get the body separately and get a longer lens. It is a remarkably good camera. I love this camera. And in fact, I'm recommending, it's my standard recommendation now for anybody who's buying their first DSLR.
Okay.
So if you can afford it. If you can't, I still would recommend probably one of the Micro Four Thirds cameras, like a Sony. The Sony NEX is quite good. The NEX-5, for instance. Unfortunately, it's about the same price. The best cameras start really at $500. But I think this is a really good choice if you can swing it for concert photography. You will get high def video that's stunning, really stunning, and the sound quality will be amazing.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very
thank you,
very
Barbara.
Much.
Did you go to Lollapalooza?
No.
Okay.
That's not my kind of
not
music.
Your kind of. What kind of music do you like?
We like the alternative music.
Uh-huh. All right.
And we're going to be going to a show in October, and we want, you know, better.
Awesome. And they don't mind. They don't mind if you shoot it?
Some places yes, some places no.
Yeah, of course you want to always a check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's telling me that Precision Camera in Austin has a sale right now on the D3200. I think if you shop around, you could probably find it for maybe closer to 600, but you got to shop around. I'll tell you what, it's almost worth stretching to get this camera. It is a camera that will grow with you. It really will. That's just a very impressive little box. Phil in Tampa, Leo Laporte. The Tech Guy. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Boy, it's good to hear you.
It's nice to talk to you.
I've got a HP laptop, and the brick, the power supply, gets extremely hot.
Yeah.
The bottom gets hot also, but for fun, I took it, stood it up on its side, and ran it for about 3 or 4 hours.
So it gets some air under it, yeah.
Yeah, and it ran a whole lot cooler.
Well, of course.
But the brick still stays hot.
Yeah. In fact, you can buy for $5 or $6 on eBay, a USB fan pad that goes underneath laptops, because laptops get hot on the bottom. They have three little fans that are powered by USB, and it can keep it 10 or 15 degrees cooler. But you're right, the bricks get hot. Now, that's not abnormal. Neither of these are abnormal, by the way. I mean, they could be, but they, even normal ones get hot. I've seen these power bricks melt. Now, that's not normal. I've seen them actually deform, the plastic deform from how hot they should get. Yeah, that's why it's a good idea not to put a power brick on a carpet or under a blanket. You want to keep it where the air cooling is as good as possible.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, really, the voltage on it was a volt over what it was supposed to be.
That's not the issue there. These things aren't, the tolerances on these things aren't that good. Just keep it cool. It's just the way it is now. These new computers are hot. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Don't put it on leather furniture. It'll get hot on your bottom.
Whether you're running a business.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a USB 3 thumb drive that has metal fins on it, and it's still really hot to the touch. It's electrical and they're working. USB 3 really gets hot. Yeah, it's working hard. This is the problem is, it can be abnormal. I mean, it might be that it is abnormal. That's what this guy was saying. Warm's fine. If it's so hot that it burns you, that's not good. So warm is not unusual. That's the problem it's not clear whether it's too hot or it's within tolerances, and it's hard to describe. Right. I've left my iPhone in the car, and you get a warning that says I've turned off because it's too hot. The good news is most electronics will have a shut off if they get over temperature. Hello, Mr. Gizwiz.
Hello there, Leo. How I was just measuring the temperature in my crotch. Which is very cool because I have an ice tray there.
Oh, hi-o!
Hey.
The Gizwiz is in the house. So, are you going to stick around?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, good, I'm doing Gizwiz Fizz.
Gizwiz.fizz?
No. Someone said you should call that something. And I said, I'm calling it Gizwiz Fizz.
How about Giz Fizz?
Giz Fizz. We could call it the Giz Fizz. Yeah, by the time it's over, it's evaporated.
It's evanescent. Yeah. 3 LCD technology. It's an evanescent. Oh, my goodness.
You and your evanescent.
I got an evanescent. So I'm going to run out of here after the show because I'm going to the Lisa wants to go to the Mineral and Gem show today.
Uh-oh.
I know. That's trouble in the making.
Is it gems behind glass, or is it gems one can buy?
Gems one can buy. And she did say, bring your credit card. I don't know what that means. Actually, I do know what that means. That's a problem.
Yeah, I'll do it. Alex said he's always around.
Thank you. Yeah, he sticks around for some reason. I don't understand why. Yeah.
And I you got a lot of people.
How'd your AMA go?
It went good.
You like it?
I didn't have the reaction you did, but people really are very kind. And
I know.
Yeah, they really, a lot of diehard Mad fans came by.
Well, and that's what usually happens. It's you get the fan. I get all the Tech TV fans, right?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Who's the guy with the mustache?
Who is the guy with the mustache?
Myra.
Myra Joyce. Myra's here again.
Yeah, Myra,
I feel bad. I think Myra's was disenfranchised by our move.
I was very upset.
My rollerblades still haven't come yet, but...
oh, no.
Well, we got a couple of days. I'm hoping they'll come Monday.
Okay.
We priced a sumo suit to protect me, and they're like $500.
Oh, you know.
So I'm just going to strap a mattress to the front and back.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's plenty.
Hold on.
All right, Leo, last live read today, 9:32.
Got it. Gizwiz, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Waning minutes of day number one of the Tech Guy Show in the new era, techguylabs.com. Have you gone yet? Have you checked out the new site? Oh, it's pretty.
Oh, I went there earlier today. Looks
Did you?
Very
you like
nice.
It?
Yeah.
That man there, that's the Gizwiz, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, joins us every week to talk about gadgets. I got to have we'll have a nice picture of you and a feature. Every Saturday on the site.
Oh, great!
Showing your gadget of the week and all that stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah, just launched it today. So Dickie D does a crazy little podcast, crazy little thing called the Gizwiz, in which he talks about gadgets. They're always fun, always interesting. He also has a website, gizwiz.biz. And this is your hobby, right? I mean, your day job is writing for Mad Magazine.
Well, right now they're about 50-50. My day job is answering emails.
You're not alone in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Non-stop,
I saw a thing this week that the average person spends 2 hours and 15 minutes a day on emails. And, boy, I'm past that.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Someday you'll come up with a gadget that will help us with that.
Oh, I hope so.
What do you got?
Until then, I have a neat little guy. I don't know if you know about the Energy Magic Trio cable. So this is a little sync and charge cable, USB on one end. On the other end, yes, it looks like there is an iPod adapter. But it is an iPod adapter. But you pull up on it, and now there's a USB micro adapter on it. Then you pull up on that again, and there's a mini micro USB adapter.
So you get like one cable that has all three popular connectors on it.
Exactly. It's about $17, and this is I carry that with me, and I carry another cable. This is maybe a little more convenient to carry, but you have to carry two different versions. So there's an iPod version, and these are from Skosh. And these little guys are called Clip Sync. So Clip Sync, a little clip for your backpack or your belt. And again, very compact. You out of one end, you pull a little USB dongle. At the other end, there's an iPod dongle, or you buy a separate one if you want USB micro and mini. We had something like this almost a year and a half ago, and they were about $10. Now they already have dropped to $10, but now they're aluminum. They have a little belt loop on them, and they really are convenient. That's what one of them looks like for if you're watching. If you're on radio, it's Skosh, and what you're looking for is the Clip Sync, which is the newer version. The old version is Flip Sync, and this is Clip Sync. So it's two very easy, compact charge and sync cables, relatively inexpensive. One about $17, and one if you shop around on Amazon down around $10 or $11.
You know, I you know about Kickstarter, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Kickstarter is a place where people come with an idea, and they ask for money, and you say, well, I'll pledge money if you raise enough money. Maybe you'll make that thing. Although you take your chances. I thought I had pledged money. I'm looking, and I guess I didn't. Must have missed the button.
Was this a Kickstarter project?
No, but there was something very similar, and it was very cool. Okay. It was like this thing. It had a big battery in it, and it would stand on a table, and then it had connectors coming off of it. And it did this. That was where it was similar, where it would have a single connector that had all three, the 30-pin Apple, the USB, and the micro USB, because those are three. Now, I thought that was a great idea, but there was one problem, which is it's not coming out till October. And all of this is, I think, about to change.
Yes, that's going to be a mini disaster.
I think it's going to be a mini disaster. So if you hadn't heard, and this is all rumor, Apple hasn't said a word, but according to the, and I think it's a strong rumor, Apple's going to change the connector on the iPhone. It won't be that 30-pin connector anymore. It'll be, and it won't be a mini USB or a micro USB. It'll be something completely new.
That is really going to make some people. They did one little change early on. It was, remember Blue Mics?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Blue Mic came out with this. Yeah, Blue Mic. They came out with this great thing for iPods. And the guy sent me one. And I said, you know, I can't get this to work. And he said, yeah, no one can. We just found out that they flipped two of the pins.
People. And they don't tell people.
And they don't tell. He said it would have been nice if we knew while we were making this.
Yeah. Well, so I was looking at this thing and I thought, well, this is a great Kickstarter project. And then I realized, wait a minute, I don't want to give them any money because it's not going to come out till October, and it may not work with the new iPhone.
No, absolutely not.
So we just have to wait, I guess.
Well, you have enough clout. No, you know what? Apple used to tell the
They don't tell me nothing.
No, they don't tell anybody anything. When I was on Good Morning America,
they lie to me. They actually actively lie to me. They say,
really?
Oh, yeah, Leo, we're going to do the 30-pin XYZ connector. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
No,
well,
they don't lie.
I mean, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, but it.
How is that nun now? Is she okay?
Yeah. She's good. It's actually a 90-pin connector, but that's all I'm saying. I'll say it's 90 pins, and it does a lot.
A lot. Gizwiz.biz, that's Dickie D's site. He does a lot. In fact, you could catch up on his World News Now reports on ABC, his appearances on this show, his podcast, and, of course, the wonderful What the Heck Is It game, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. If you could look at a close-up picture of some doodad and figure out what the heck it is.
Well, now you gave it away.
It's a doodad. Oh, I'm sorry. I should never have said that.
Now, we need a little more specific than that to win.
It's a doodad. 24 copies of Mad Magazine, autographed by Mr. DiBartolo for the wrong answer. That gives you some idea of where he's going with this.
Yep.
Thanks, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Stick around. He's going to do a little bit after the show. He's going to do a... I don't know. What are you calling it? The fizz? The giz whiz fizz?
Yeah, giz fizz or giz whiz fizz. Yeah, we talked to the chat room for an hour.
It's fun. He just does his little show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. Stick around, Dick.
I'll be here.
All right. Matt, Speedway, Indiana. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's well. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking on my just resurrected iPhone 3GS that came from Davy Jones's locker.
You mean it was underwater?
It was on the bottom of the pool, accidentally dropped.
And you were able to resurrect it. That's remarkable. What did you do to save it?
In a bowl of rice for 8 days.
Yeah, the rice draws the water off.
Right.
You're very lucky because
that was an epic failure.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's great. You didn't do what I did, which is try to turn it on. You know,
well, it was coming on and off on its own on the counter. The bowl of rice was constantly vibrating.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, you're just lucky. I shorted everything out. The thing was molten. In fact, they took the SIM card. I was hoping to reuse the SIM card. And it was short-circuited. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You hear that, Matt? You know what that means? I've just wasted your time.
That's okay. It's been a pleasure.
Hang on. We'll call you back and make you the first call tomorrow. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv.
And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.